Do it.
What? Cinema. Crespo. Deeso. Cinema. Crespo. Deeso. Thank you very much.
S-R-N. How could somebody misfile something? What could be easier? It's all alphabetical. You just put it in the right file, according to alphabetical order. You know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z! Huh? That's all you have to do!
Very good. You know your alphabet.
I never misfiled anything! Not once, not one time!
I'm sure that you didn't.
Go, Speed Racer, go! Welcome to episode 22 of Cinema Crespo Deeso Ridiculous. It is me, film critic extraordinaire, Christopher Crespo. You have a screenplay you need doctored up, hit me up. I'm very cheap, $10,000 per screenplay. I'll make it award winner. I'm here, as always, with the Andy Richter to my Conan, the Ed McMahon to my Johnny Carson, Drewster Cogburn.
How's it going, Chris?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Drew?
Doing okay.
And we have a special guest here, super excited about this, the man with many nicknames, Cool Carl, Video Verna, Carl Verna the Video Berna.
That is me. All those names were given to me by other people. I just want to throw that disclaimer
all different
out
people.
There.
Okay, all different people.
Really happy to be here,
all
guys.
All my nicknames have been given to me by other people, too.
This guy's nickname crazy. Drewster Cogburn, Drucifer, Dr. Drew, Drewski. It's
Dr. Drew, I like that one.
Yeah,
that's a good one. How's it going, Carl?
It's going really good. I'm really happy to be here. I think there's an exciting summer of movies coming, maybe.
Oh, yes.
You never know, right?
We're in the midst of quite a summer of films. Have you seen the Iron Man 3 yet? That's
the
biggest one so far.
I'm going to go see it at the biggest theater in town. I haven't had time, but I am. That's on my calendar.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to see it.
It's still making like $5, $6 million a weekend, too. It's not going anywhere.
Fresh on a tomato meter, from what I can see.
Yes, it is. And on the Crespo meter as well.
And yes,
the
Crespo very, meter. Very fresh.
Yeah,
on the
we're
the one I checked first.
Yeah. It's definitely
must check the Crespo meter first.
Exactly.
Which you can probably see at chriscrespo.com. But let's get into the show here. We got a whole bunch of stuff to do. I mean, we got a pack show, Carl. I'll guide you through it. It's very
right on.
I'm the Indiana Jones here on this guide. So you follow me, we're good to go. We're gonna start with the Netflix instant pick of the week. Drew right there has the Netflix Randomizer 9000. As you know, Carl, the Netflix Instant, they have tons and tons of movies, and a lot of them suck. People don't know what to watch, you know? So if you don't mind, would you please reach into the bag there?
I am reaching into the bag right now. I'm feeling around.
And do you have the site pulled up, Drew?
And I have something.
I thought you checked all these recently.
I checked them a couple weeks ago, but they might, you know, they love to pull the movies down from the website.
Can I look now?
Oh, you can look. Okay. You can look all you
can
want.
Just don't say anything.
Don't say it. Let Drew.
I need to take a look at it as well.
Do you know it, Carl? Do you recognize it? Do you like it?
All right. Let's see.
Yes. I recognize the film.
All right. So hopefully it's on the Netflix and we'll be good to go.
Wait.
Because it's so annoying. I've done it before where I've been on the show. We picked a movie. I tell people, go check it out. And then after the show, I go to Netflix and it's gone.
Oh, no.
Not on there. Like, sorry, people.
Happens all the time.
They do. Yeah. Do you notice that they do? They pull certain things
all the time because they're rotating their library.
Yeah.
And sometimes licenses expire, so they
That's
have to
true.
Pull like whole libraries off, which, you know, and then there's no warning about it. They just do it.
When did you ever see a film that had a part one and part two on Netflix, and then you're waiting for the sequel and it never happens?
I haven't had that exactly happen to me, but I have seen
Atlas Shrugged.
They do have, Atlas Shrugged 2, that came out pretty recently in theaters, I think. So it'll be that'll be on Netflix soon.
Gotcha.
I have seen them put, like, for a while they had Mission Impossible 2 and 3.
Yeah.
But they don't have the first one on there.
weird.
That's weird. They do that with TV shows. Yeah. The Miami Vice, the original Miami Vice, yeah. they have on there.
Yeah.
Like the first season is missing like 4 or 5 episodes. Yikes. You have to get them on the disc.
On the disc.
It's very, very weird. So, Drew, what's going on over there, buddy?
I have no idea what's going on.
What are you?
my computer. I think one of my buttons is stuck.
Anyone out there listening, if you have a MacBook that you would like to donate to Cinema Crespediso, specifically to Drewster Cogburn, please hit us up at cinemacrespediso@gmail.com.
Come on.
And donate a computer to the show.
It's got to be stuck.
You could do a Kickstarter for it or something.
We could. Or a GoFundMe. Kickstarter is being ruined by all the corporations.
This is inevitable.
It's supposed to be for the people.
Yeah, come on. There's nothing for the people.
I got a button stuck. We're just going to have to go for it. We're just going to have to say that it's there.
All right, Carl. What's the movie?
All right. The movie is Windfall.
Oh, Windfall. Windfall is on there. Windfall is a documentary about wind turbines and how a company that sells wind turbines pretty much, and they set them up. They went to a small town and they sold all the people on we'll set up wind turbines in your community and you're gonna make all this money. What they didn't tell them was all the crazy side effects. Like the whoomp, whoomp, whoomp sound.
That constant noise.
The constant noise, the shadows that it throws on people's houses during times of day. And it makes like the room goes dark for a second and it's light and it's dark. It's a fascinating documentary. I saw it at the Florida Film Festival 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah. That's one thing. Netflix does have a lot of stuff from the Florida Film Festival over the years.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. A lot like Kumare.
Right.
That was a past
pick. One of my favorites ever.
Isn't it a fantastic film?
I love Kumare.
So good. Vikram Gandhi, man. That guy is very interesting. I saw that at the Florida Film Festival last year, and then they put it on Netflix this year.
Queen of Versailles.
Yeah. That played at the Enziana recently. They got that on there. Netflix is great for documentaries.
Netflix is awesome for documentaries.
So Windfall is a great one. Carl, you've seen it, so you agree?
I've actually seen the trailer.
Okay.
I must say.
It's a great film.
The real interesting about that is, you know, these farmers weren't making any money at all.
They were hurting.
They're hurting. And I almost, in a way, feel like, hey, listen, you should have known what you were getting into.
When you make a deal with the devil, you know.
You made that deal. That machine is on there now. It's subsidizing your farm. Get your money together and move away.
Seriously.
Right? I don't know.
Well, it's something. Yeah, cash out and get out. You know?
You still got the land right there. You're still profiting from it.
Yeah.
That's just my take on the whole thing.
That is a possibility. But I guess they're all... They love their community, and they love...
Yeah.
A lot of them grew up there, and they want to stay there. I guess for some of them, they can't imagine moving.
You know, I live next to a damn train that passes by at weird hours.
Yeah. And it likes to lay on its horn at 3 in the morning.
At 3 in the morning, the horn gets louder. I deal with it.
Right.
In Brooklyn, I used to live around the corner from a firehouse.
Me too. In Staten Island, I grew up right around from a firehouse. After a year, you don't even hear the sirens.
You don't hear any, but you know what's really crazy? Before, like, that announcement that comes on that lets them know what address, what section they need to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, section 455, our building 3-4. That thing used to drive me crazy. I didn't mind the sirens
first. You could hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Man. Well, they were practically in my backyard.
It was right there then. Yeah, yeah.
So, damn those people in that wind farm. I wasn't getting paid for that announcement.
For etiquette beats, yeah. These people got paid.
They paid.
They did.
Yeah.
But,
great subject for a documentary.
It is a great subject because it's not something that people think about, you know. It's the same thing with the fracking, the gas, when they break up the ground to get the gas out of there.
Matt Damon was in that.
Promised Land. I've had that movie sitting on my table for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I've yet
to
watch it.
Yeah.
It's just like, a preachy movie about fracking, you know.
Well, you know, the one thing I heard about Promised Land is the fact that at the end of the film, it lets the viewers decide.
Oh, okay. So it's not so preachy like this is.
It's not Michael Moore.
Yeah. It's showing you this is the wrong thing. Yeah. It's actually leaving it open.
Mm-hmm.
It is Gus Van Sant. He's a good director. So
good director.
Good storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting storyteller.
I'm going to actually check it out now that you mention it.
That's Gus Van Sant.
I forgot it was Gus Van Sant.
Yeah. That's the only reason I was really interested in it at all. I mean, I like Matt Damon, but it's not like I'm going to run out and see We Bought a Zoo or anything.
One of the things... Yeah. Oh. Should I admit that I saw that film?
Ah, did you really? Someone has to see it.
It was a rainy, lonely night. But the one thing I was going to say about Gus Van Sant, still wants to shoot on 35mm film.
Does he? He's one of the holdouts?
Yeah, he's one of the holdouts.
There's very, very few of those.
My university is phasing it out, man.
Ah, that's a shame.
Really?
I feel really sad about it. I really do,
it's
man.
Terrible.
Like whole classes about how to use it. It's all just
Which
going away.
Which is really weird because we have a class called 35 millimeter film.
Yeah.
And we have a class called 16 millimeter film. And the whole idea of 16 is to prepare you to go to 35.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So they're going all digital now.
Right.
So for the longest, they were like, oh, wow, what do we do with 16 millimeter? So they came up with this whole other preparatory format to get the kids ready to handle the 35 digital cameras.
Oh, like right. because they have digital cameras that you can use and pop different lenses on there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to them.
It's not the same, though.
It's still, you know, this is the thing that I'm going to miss the most. First of all, there's a finite resolution to HD at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you can go to Ultra HD, which is like 4,000 lines of resolution.
Uh-huh. 4K, right?
Yep, 4K.
Right.
Which is great, but you can't even really quantify the amount of resolution 35 has. It's ridiculous.
It's like if you try to compare the two, 35 millimeter is like in the hundreds of thousands of lines of resolution as opposed to 4,000, which is high as we get. Yeah.
So there's a lot of
to quantify.
Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah. So there's a lot of information in there that's subconscious that your eyes interpret and your brain absorbs it.
Yeah.
And there's stuff going on. You feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like when people went from analog to digital with records and CDs.
And you're losing stuff.
And the purists were like, I don't know, I don't like this CD format kind of thing.
And it took a while for people to come around. Now people are like, vinyl sounds better. Analog sounds better. But
it's making a little comeback.
But it's so expensive now to make records, and everyone's used to downloading, which is even worse quality.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing with the Netflix Instant. I love Netflix having a big library, but half the time I'm watching movies on there and I'm not getting the full HD stream. I'm getting 2 bars.
Yeah.
And if I complain to Netflix, they'll be like, oh no, that's your internet provider. If I go to my internet provider, they're like, oh no, that's Netflix, they're throttling you. You know, like, oh, well, screw both of you guys.
I'm a circle jerk.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you know what, let me pop in a DVD and actually have the media right there. It's all going away.
Yeah, and I'm also gonna miss, you know, actually it's a tangible medium, like you can hold it in your hand kind of thing.
It is weird how that is going away.
The last big lab in Chicago just went out of business.
That's right, I read about that.
What a bummer, man. And that's, we're talking about Chicago here.
Yeah. I mean, when Kodak is filing for bankruptcy and, you know, Panavision, Panaflex, they're not making cameras anymore. It's like, well,
sad times.
It's
guys.
Done, man.
Yeah, it's
done.
Over.
And this is my argument with it. If you shoot something HD 1080i right now, amazing film, right? And then 5 years from now, a new format comes out.
You're going to see the
change. And then what are you going to do? Now you got to try to up-res 1080i to this new standard.
Right.
And it's going to look like crap.
Or you're going to try to watch it as is, and you're going to see the artifacting. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's like when movies come out in the 90s with CGI, you're like, oh, look at that. That's incredible CGI. It looks great. And then you look at it now, you're like, oh, my God, it looks horrible. When was the last time you've seen Toy Story, the original one? All the characters are just polygonal blocks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They're not even characters.
That's true.
It's so weird. Yeah. As the technology develops, we're willing to let so much go.
I'm going to be one of the last holdouts. And you know what? I'm going to fight my university, and I'm going to be like, yo, listen, let's just keep one aspect. Let's not get rid of the cameras.
Something.
Yeah. Just in case. And let's keep a bunch of fridge in film.
Invest in that stuff.
Seriously.
Man, it's sad. That is definitely sad. But it's the way it is. So we just got to wait for hopefully digital cameras to eventually catch up to what film, we remembered film looked like.
Yeah. I just shot with the new Arri, right?
Right.
The new Arri Digital and 4K is beautiful.
Yeah.
But it was a music video, so it's going on a small screen anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the latitude of that camera is incredible.
Really?
You know, almost like 13 stops of latitude. Mm-hmm. It's close to what eventually is going to replace film, but it's not quite there.
But it's not there. Yeah. Okay.
Shot with the Red camera, very impressive, and the Cine Alta, all those kind of cameras.
And then when it comes to filmmakers, you have some like Steven Soderbergh jumped to digital years ago. He was all about it.
Especially him. I mean, he's
The way he shoots.
Sex Lies videotape.
Yeah,
anyway,
going all the way back. Yeah, he's always out shooting fast and shooting on by himself.
Yeah.
Tarantino is a famous holdout where he's like, I'm only film. I will never shoot video. But then he's also saying he's going to retire in 3 movies.
Yikes.
So,
duh.
So when he's gone, film's done. Christopher Nolan, he's 100% about film. Yeah. He still wants to shoot on in film, but I mean, if the companies aren't there and the labs aren't there,
The studios are going to basically present the situation like what you just said. Mm-hmm. Where are we going to develop this thing?
Yeah.
India?
Yeah. You know how much more money? Right. What, you want this huge special effect that's going to cost millions? Yeah. Well, then shoot on digital.
Shoot digital.
Yeah. And Nolan, I don't know, man. There's very few people that have the clout these days that can demand a huge movie to be like shot in film. Yeah. P.T. Anderson, did you see The Master?
Yes.
Shot that on 70mm. Oh, beautiful. I love the short focal depth, you know. Yes. Like the nose is super sharp and focused, but the ears are out of focus. Right, yeah. Right. It's like,
incredible,
oh,
incredible shallow depth of field, man.
Yeah.
That's movies to me. That's cinema.
Yeah. The focal point and the lights and
shadows. It's all tools of the director. What do I want the audience to focus on now? Mm-hmm. What do I want them to see? What do I want to reveal later? All, it's just part of the tool.
Yeah.
You know, of the tricks of the trades that we have.
Exactly. And it's all in the service of telling a story. It's got to be subliminal, too. People don't realize these things are happening to them. So that's why, like you're saying, when you tell a person we're switching from film to digital, they don't realize all the stuff that their brain takes in, all the information that they're losing. You know, it's like you're saying, it's all part of one experience, and now we're cutting that experience down. And all that said,
there's gonna be a revolution at some point. Something's gonna happen.
Something.
I'm an optimist.
Something's gonna pop. The glass is half full.
Right.
All right. I'll take that. It's half full of poison sometimes. But
yes.
All right. Let's get to the box office for the weekend. Drew, you got that up there?
Yes.
Is your computer okay?
Yeah, my computer. I just had to restart. Yeah,
I saw. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
You were pulling out wrenches and WD-40. It was crazy over there.
Works quickly and quietly, that guy.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what he does. Drewster Cogburn, what do you got, Drew?
All right, number five this week, we have Epic, that had a weekend gross of $12.1 million, total gross of $84.15 on a budget of $100.
$189 million worldwide for this movie. So that's
not bad
for Fox.
Dude, seriously, Fox's new animation studio seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, they got to be happy with their results lately of some of their films.
Well,
I mean, Ice Age, too, that's been their cash cow for years.
Well, still, I mean, between that, I mean, Epic's making $200 million.
Who did The Croods? Do you remember?
That's Fox.
That's Fox?
Yeah, that's another $200 million in the bank.
Yeah, good for Fox. Good for Fox. I haven't seen Epic. Drew, have you seen it?
No.
Nope. Carl?
I have not seen Epic yet.
I have not seen it. Yeah, I'll see it on video.
I'm
or
very
something.
Picky with my movies these days.
Are you?
Yeah, very picky, man. Yeah. I get tired of going in there and getting disappointed and spending all that money.
Yeah, well, way it is, if you go to a movie every weekend, Law of Averages says you're going to be disappointed.
Yes, and I have been.
Yeah, Drew's been going to a lot more movies lately, and I'm sorry, buddy.
I respect it. It's my life. I love it, but I'm just really wary of certain things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I just don't know if I want to spend $20 tonight.
All right, so what's the number four? Number four is a new one, right?
Yeah, number four this week, we have The Internship, that had a weekend gross of $18.1 million.
Google the movie.
Same as the total and a budget of $18 million
on a $58 million budget. It's gonna make $60 million.
Is Google gonna make a profit?
Is Google gonna make a profit? Google, all the advertising they're getting, and they didn't pay for it. You know, the way this movie came about, Vince Vaughn apparently was watching 60 Minutes, and they did a story about how Google is one of the best places to work in the world. So he took that to one of his partners and developed a whole story based on working at Google. And of course, Google's like, yes.
Yes.
Yes, please make a movie about how awesome we are to work for.
And sure.
Now it's a 2-hour commercial.
Make us more money.
Yes, right?
Can I mention the tomato meter?
What is it?
33%.
No, that's not bad.
Rotten.
That's not very good. Very good. I'm surprised,
I like those
actually.
Actors, though.
Everyone likes Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson.
They're a good team up.
Wedding Crashers is very funny.
That's
probably part of the reason why they greenlit this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, an exec sees these two. They see Wedding Crashers making a lot of money. Like, let's make these. Mm-hmm. Google's a popular thing with kids.
Yes.
You know, I'm trying to think like an old series. Like the Google, I don't know. Make the movie. I read a thing online about how this one guy wrote an article about how when he was a kid, he went to the dentist office, and on the table in the waiting room, there were a bunch of Spider-Man comic books.
Mm.
And his dentist said, hey, they're free. Go ahead and take one.
Mm.
So as a kid, he was like, free Spider-Man comic? All right. He took it home and he read it. few pages into the comic book, he realized that Spider-Man was telling kids to use AIM toothpaste, and it's a commercial. It's you know, the whole thing's a commercial. But
the old bait and switch.
It was a bait and switch. But as a kid, he knew not to be very upset because it was free, and that was the give and take.
Sure.
So this author, the guy who wrote this article, argued that everyone should be able to see The Internship for free. Because it's a commercial for Google. It's not a real movie. It's like they're sucking you in.
It's an infomercial.
Yes, it's a promotional. They're paying for it, you know, just by being Google and the movie being saturated with that. So
did they executive produce the film? I mean, did they provide funds?
I don't know what they provided other than allowing them to use their name. Yeah.
That's a lot of money, though.
But Vince Vaughn went to them being like, we want to make a movie about how great you are.
I'm sure.
How can you say no?
What the hell is that all about?
So it's making money, right? You were saying?
Yeah, $18 million opening weekend. That's not bad. It's going to make like $60, $70 million. It'll probably make more on the Red Box and the DVD you know, eventually. I'm not going to see it, though.
No.
Like
definitely not.
You know, like it'll have to be a free comic book for me to want to read about awesome Google.
Exactly.
All right, number three movie.
Number three this week, we have Now You See Me, that had a weekend gross of $19.5 million. Total gross is $61.4 on a budget of $75.
It's okay. That one's making its money. It's going to get to, I mean, 20 now. I don't know, 10. It's going to get to like 80, 90 million U.S.
I like the trailer, though.
I enjoyed the film. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, you liked it?
Yeah,
Drew liked the movie more than I did. I thought it was pretty, I thought it was pretty dumb.
It's one of those films where the gimmick right off top.
Yeah.
You just want to see them pull it off and what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's very much in love with its own plot and story.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a heist movie with magicians. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I love heist movies. Yeah, so do I.
Heist movies are good when they're good. When they're good. Yeah. You know.
I want the bad guy to get away with it.
Yeah. Every time.
It's like Heat, man. You want the Nero to get away. You want him to get out of there.
I love heist movies for that.
Yep. That's absolutely. The Heist with Gene Hackman. He gets away with that at the end. He gets his gold. People try to screw him, and he screws them all back, and he gets his gold.
Some of the best movies ever have been heist movies. Yep. Actually, you guys just gave me an idea for the next concept of a music video. I'm going to make it a heist.
There you go.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to do. Thank you guys.
There you go.
You're very welcome.
I was stuck.
I love how Inception is a reverse heist movie.
Yeah.
Because instead of breaking in to steal something, they're breaking in to implant something. You know, it's what the hell?
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Who does stuff like that? Christopher Nolan. That's
He's a weirdo.
So Now You See Me. Yeah, Drew likes it.
I enjoyed it.
I'm not a fan. Out there, if you want to hear our reviews, go back and check out episode 21
from last week.
I realized as I was doing my notes, Now You See Me is an acronym for NYSE, New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if that has anything to
now
do
you
with
see
big
me.
Brain over
okay.
there.
Okay, Now You See Me is NYSE.
NYSM, New York Stock.
New York Stock.
I blew it. I blew it.
You had me fooled. All right. I'm from New York. Oh, man.
Moving on.
All right. Number two this week, we have Fast and Furious 6. It had a weekend gross of $19.76 million. Total gross of $202.9 on a budget of $160.
Plus $381 million in international box office. So it's at $584 million worldwide.
That's the next film I'm going to see. It's on my list.
It's fun.
It's a lot of fun. Everybody loves it.
My parents went and saw it yesterday, and they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
My dad was like, that was a good movie.
Cool.
He was like surprised by how good it was. And my mom, you know, it is over 2 hours, so it was a little long for her. She had some action fatigue. It was a lot of fun. Some of it, obviously, she's like, oh, I couldn't believe that part. I'm like, Mom, you can't believe any of it.
Doesn't that trip you out when people see movies and you go, that could never happen?
Yeah, like that one, moment.
It.
None of that could happen.
That's why it's on the screen.
But they enjoyed it. It's definitely, I mean, it's a hard movie to not like. You really have to hate fun.
Does it dovetail from 5 into 6?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Oh, it does.
Absolutely.
Right?
Now they have a continuing story.
So it dovetails from 5 into 6, but 6 is somehow.
4, 5, and 6 are all prequels to 3.
Ah, gotcha.
And then 7 is actually going to be then after
all of
snap.
It.
3, yeah. So the story is jumping around crazy.
It's zigzagging and snaking around.
I got to watch the first two again because...
To be honest, I haven't even seen the first four. I just started watching them 5. When they added The Rock is when I started watching.
When you started watching?
I was like, oh, The Rock's in it. Okay,
dude, I got into it with Tokyo Drift.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, what?
this is actually good.
Yeah. Well, Justin Lin.
Justin Lin, man.
He did from three on. So, it's all his style. And he's not doing seven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because...
contractual?
No, because they want seven to come out next summer.
Oh.
So they're already gearing up to start filming it now, and he did the last four. He's
that's enough.
He's like, A, he wants a break.
Sure.
And B, he has Terminator 5 set up with Annapurna Pictures. So he's like, I'd rather take this break now and then do Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger than do like another Fast and Furious.
Awesome.
They replaced Justin Lin with James Wan. The guy who did Saw and Insidious.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a good choice.
So that's going to be his first big budget
action movie. An excellent choice.
I think it'll be a very interesting
choice. When you
choice.
Take those kind of indie directors who have indie sensibilities, and then you're like, now you can play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And give them a big sandbox.
And if they let them stay true to themselves, something good always comes out of it.
You would hope so. Yeah. Don't choke them out. Don't choke the creativity out of them. Let them do their
thing. Don't make it too much corporate directing. Let them do their thing. Yeah, it comes out good.
Right. So hopefully Universal will do that with they let Justin Lin do his thing, so hopefully James Wan will come in and finish it off nice and strong.
Cool.
We'll see. I'm looking forward to the seventh one, and I'm glad that it's coming out next year.
I'm actually, like you said, I'm gonna revisit the first
two
to see how it all ties in together.
I'll probably watch the first four because he's seen them all. I haven't
seen
them all.
And the funny thing, in the beginning of Fast 6, they have a montage of like everything that's happened everything.
Really?
And
it's hysterical.
Like the first 5 minutes, I'm sitting there going, I've seen all these movies and I don't remember any of this.
I don't remember
a goddamn second.
Oh, that's
of
pretty
it.
Slick that they did that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And then really, when you're watching, it's like, oh, look at Paul Walker's hair change. It's like, oh, it's really shaggy.
That's pretty much all it is.
It's pretty funny.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool, man. Not to do a spoiler alert or anything, but it's in the trailer.
Yeah.
Obviously, Michelle comes back.
Right. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't remember how she went away in the first place. I forgot.
That was the fourth one, apparently.
It was in the fourth one? Okay, I'm going to revisit that. Apparently, I don't want to give nothing away to people who are going to do the same thing I am.
Apparently, it's in the fourth one, and I think they revisit in this movie.
They flashback.
It's a flashback, but I think they redid it. Like, they showed it from a new angle.
Well, they showed it from a new angle.
To show how she survived.
Well, it was the extended cut.
Okay.
Because in the first movie, it ended with the gunshot, so you just assume that they shot her. And then in the new one, I mean the movie's been out for a little while.
Yeah, that's
so
okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay. So then it shows that they shot at, like, the dude shoots at the engine
and it blows up the car.
Yeah, it blows up the car, but she's okay.
Yeah, it blows up, she's like, oh, she goes flying, but then she's okay.
I guarantee you there's still gonna be people listening to this pissed off at
you. Spoilers.
Oh well.
Yeah. Oh, that happened. Oh well. That's like half an hour into me. Yeah, get over it, people.
I don't care.
Go see her. It made almost $600 million worldwide. If you haven't seen it by now, you're not a Fast and Furious
franchise.
Fan.
Exactly.
All right, number one movie of the weekend.
Yeah, number one movie of the weekend is The Purge. That had a weekend gross
of
$36.4 million.
Dude.
On a budget of $3 million.
Yes.
So, bank.
Dude.
Whoever came up with this idea and shot this film.
Oh, my goodness.
Just made.
You gotta love that.
So much money.
Well, the studio just made a ton of money.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that, the Purge 2. That's the first thing I thought.
Of course.
It's coming.
And then, you know, now that I'm looking at the budget for this, I could totally. I totally understand why it's $3 million.
Yeah, it's a bunch of people in a house.
No, exactly. It shows a couple outside shots in the beginning
of a really nice neighborhood,
and the rest of it is just shot inside of a house, which could be anywhere.
Yeah,
you know, those
it could have been all in a studio.
Yeah,
absolutely. And films like that are awesome. I mean, like, just think about, like, you know, 12 Angry Men or something like that.
Yeah.
One place the whole movie.
Well, 12 Angry Men is
one
freaking room the whole time.
That's
impressive, you know. This one, it is all in one house. So there is that, like, claustrophobic feeling of everyone stuck in the house. But there's just so many things in this movie that are, that irritated me. First off, it's a home invasion movie. Well, first off, for people that don't know, The Purge.
First off, we should probably mention that we saw this movie.
Well, we saw this movie. Andrew and I saw this movie. The Purge is about, it's the future. It's like 2021, 2022. So it's not very far into the future, but apparently there's now a new America with new founding fathers.
The new founding fathers.
And they've now, to solve all crime and unemployment and poverty, apparently, 12 hours a night, once a year, all crime is legal.
Oh, so they're like, just everything. Get it out of your system.
Just get it out of your system.
And do what you want.
And apparently, if people do that, then 364 days the rest of the year, they can bottle everything in and not do a single
not
crime.
Not do anything interesting. And what, like 1%?
It's
1%
the,
unemployment?
Like 1%, yeah, it's the worst setup ever.
Big economy.
But it's all done just because they just... found they just wanted a reason to do a home invasion right. movie, so yeah. it's and then they hit this hard nail yeah. on the head. It's all about the haves versus the have-nots.
Oh, yeah. yeah,
during the
literal class warfare.
Class warfare yeah. during the 12 hours. If you're rich, you can afford a security system to keep people out, Ooh. And if you're poor, then you're stuck in the streets.
Yikes!
But they didn't even go into like poor people trying to survive. No, nope. It's all about a rich family.
It's the point of view of the 1%.
It is the point of view of the 1% and the 1% eating itself.
Ooh.
Too, which is kind of interesting, except for the fact that they're just so obvious and ham-fisted about
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
There's no subtlety whatsoever.
No. They literally hammer it.
At one point, one of the characters is literally like, we are the haves, you know? Yeah. Like people go around talking about the haves versus the have-nots. Well, we are the haves.
They call homeless people swine.
They're always
literally,
talking about homeless
like,
swine.
Calling them pigs.
It's like, they're not like us.
Yeah.
It's so old.
Was Mitt Romney in the movie?
Right. He produced it. No, man. It was pretty... The setup is really dumb, and I don't buy it. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, the home invasion movie aspect—that's it was okay. The action was shot kind of shaky, and it's all in the dark because they cut the lights out, so it's kind of some of it's kind of hard to see.
Yeah,
Ethan Hawke is great.
Was it? Wasn't that movie Safe Room? Safe Room. The one with Jodie Foster.
Panic Room. Panic Room is when when Forrest Whitaker and Dwight Yoakam are breaking into their house.
Yeah.
That's a fun movie.
That was dope. Does it hold up to is it on the same par?
If you can compare it to Panic Room, then The Purge is gonna sink like a stone. Panic Room is like the same type of deal, but done all the way up here. Panic Room is up there with the original Straw Dogs, Sam Peckinpah Straw Dogs.
Yes.
This is like just. Like The Strangers. I hated The Strangers. Mm-hmm. And this is like along those lines of just people just randomly show up to a house and terrorize the people inside, and then what happens, you know?
Okay.
I liked Ethan Hawke. I think he's great. Mm-hmm. I like how he does genre movies like this, and he really throws himself into it, you know? Because he's had the type of career where he could have gone the prestige route or just tried to do serious stuff, but he does...
Yeah.
He does movies like Assault on Precinct 13.
He does off-the-wall stuff. Yeah,
he goes for it. And he's good. But I don't know. The movie really didn't. It was predictable.
Totally predictable.
There was at least four moments where like someone's about to get killed. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh no, like they're picking up the axe and then someone off screen shoots them.
Off screen thing.
That happens like four times, dude. And then by the time the last one comes around, like you don't even have to see any movies to know. By the time the last one, you know who it's going to be, how it's going to happen, what's going to happen. It's so
predictable. Does it make a big political statement at the end?
No, it doesn't. No. It makes it tries to rely on its whole this is what the future is like, and you know Americans are violent by nature. It's really not making much of a statement at all.
I think that's where they really could have made an impact.
They could have thought harder about how to weave these things in there.
There's so much. That's a subject that's so rife for stories in different situations, man.
But then, now that I'm finding out also it's a $3 million budget, maybe they were working with what they were
that's
operating
cool,
with.
Yeah. You know? I mean, at the end of the day, the filmmakers had a vision. They didn't need a lot of money for it, and everybody goes home with money in their pocket.
Everybody's got money in their pockets.
People are turning out for this one. Maybe with The Purge 2, they can expand their scope and get more into other things. I really think for this summer, for my dollar, if you're going to see any movie about the haves versus the have-nots that's going to have real political allegory to it, it's going to be that Matt Damon movie, Elysium, coming out.
Oh, yes.
The new Neil Blomkamp movie.
Ooh, I can't wait for that.
Because that's the same thing where it's all about the rich live in, you know, crime-free, disease-free environment. The poor
Everyone else lives on Earth.
The ghettoest of ghettos, which is Earth.
Yes. The Earth is the ghetto.
Yeah. And
the entire planet.
Welcome to my hood.
Apparently, when they shot that movie, they shot, I forgot exactly where and what part of the world, but they shot scenes in... like an old industrial park and like trash and landfills and stuff. And it was so toxic, the environment that they were shooting in, a lot of the film crew, like the people that were there for hours, they all had to have on hazmat suits and stuff while they were making the movie. And then, like, Matt Damon, like, all right, run in here, shoot your stuff, all right, get out of there, bro, before the environment kills you.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're going for realism, I guess.
You know, it's really crazy that there's even places like that on the planet.
That exist.
Oh, yeah. You mean like the Great Pacific Garbage Patch?
Right. The patch. The plastic floating around.
Yep, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, the size of freaking Texas.
Maybe Will Smith was right with After Earth. Oh, wow. We gotta get out of here. You know, let the Earth restore it to its natural ecosystem.
Yeah, well, it's going to do it with us still here.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly.
It's going to happen one way or the other,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Everyone's screaming, save the Earth, save the Earth. The Earth will be just fine. It's save the humans.
Save us.
Please. Nature will destroy us.
Yes.
When's that movie coming out? August, I think?
Elysium, August 9th.
August 9th, right.
August 9th. Okay. It comes out the same weekend as the final season of Breaking Bad debuts.
Ooh. So
it's going to be a good weekend.
It's going to be a great weekend.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so our rating system, Carl, we have our own rating system where, you know, we're trying to stand out somehow, right? Sure. We do it by monetary because that's how people think these days. Sure. Is it worth
how
seeing
much
in
money
the theater?
You're willing to spend?
Would you rather see in a Redbox? Wait for HBO, gotcha. TBS, catch on an airplane. For me personally, I say The Purge is like catch it on TV, you know, when it's on FX or something like that. That's when I say watch it, this type of movie.
What do you say, Drew?
I mean, check it on the Redbox. Pay a buck.
He says it's worth a buck.
No commercials.
Watch it at home.
It is,
no commercials.
No commercials. It is hard to argue against paying $1.
$1.
At this point, you're talking about time.
I definitely would do the Redbox thing.
I think it's definitely worth your time. I think it's $1. It's worth $1 in your time, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I mean, when you said it was only $3 million, and then as a filmmaker, I know how hard it is to be constrained with, oh man, I'm in one location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to figure out clever ways of keeping this moving. So I want to see how they pull that off.
Technically speaking, there are things to glean from it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you're going for just for entertainment value, it's a little lackluster. But for something like that, like I was fascinated by the movie. Silent House.
Silent House, yes.
With the Olsen, but not the twins. Not
the other one,
Elizabeth.
No. I don't know.
There's Ashley. There's Mary Kate. Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen.
I think it's Elizabeth. Yeah.
Yes.
That movie I was fascinated with because it's all supposed to be one take. You know, one take.
Oh, it was a one take film.
It's a one take movie.
I didn't know that.
From start to finish, where there's not supposed to be any cuts. But I was like, I'm watching it. Like, there's where they digitally seam the scenes together.
Yeah, they hit a cut.
Yeah, yeah. You can see the cuts. Right. When like a door opens and it takes up the whole view. You know,
course.
It's like, oh, that's where they seam them together. I'm no dummy. But it's still fun to see them try
it's
to pull off.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then it's the same thing where it all takes place in one location. How do they make this interesting?
Mm-hmm.
There's even a shot in the movie where they do it in real time, obviously, because that's the bit of the movie. Mm-hmm. She runs outside and she's outside for about 5-10 minutes running around, and while she's doing that, the sun is setting in the background.
Oh.
And then by the time she heads back into the house, the sun has pretty much gone down,
it's
and it's dark out. That was very, very
cool.
Impressive. Yeah. The movie itself is like...
See, little techniques like that I steal, and it's just learn from.
Yeah.
There's
a difference between stealing from and learning from, you know, and appropriating. No one makes art in a vacuum.
No doubt.
You know, we all... Even movies themselves, the movies take from narrative forms of storytelling, like radio and books. And then that people stole from hieroglyphics and cave paintings. You know, it goes all the way
back. It goes all the way back.
It's all the same. It's all one big Ouroboros.
Can you imagine
Ouroboros
back
creativity.
In the day, prehistoric times, and the filmmaker was a guy with like a torch?
Yep.
Standing in front of a wall of pictures.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, like spaying at people.
Yelling things at you.
Exactly. Do you remember, did you ever see the Reign of Fire with Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey, the dragon movie? Where it's in the future and dragons or have like destroyed the earth.
And people are
underground.
It's the future, but it's the past.
It's the future, but it's the past.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where they're entertaining the kids.
Yeah.
So they're doing a telling, they're acting out Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
You know, but it's the two of them and they do the point where like, I'm your father. And the kids
I
are
love
like,
that scene.
That's
a fantastic
scene. Whatever you think about the movie, that one scene is almost worth watching just because of what it says about the perseverance of storytelling
and
the way we entertain ourselves as mankind.
That was Christian Bale preparing for Terminator.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
right.
In that film.
Pretty much. And Matthew McConaughey preparing for the great part of his second half of his career, which has been so great lately. I mean, lately he's been.
Lately.
Once he stopped doing all the rom-coms.
Oh, my God. He made his money, though.
Yeah, that's what he did. He made his money. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, all right, now I feel comfortable to make all these artistic crazy movies like Killer Joe and stuff. All right, so let's talk about the new movies coming out on DVD. We got a few movies coming out on Tuesday. There's Oz the Great and Powerful.
Ooh, sweet. Never saw that.
That's a Redbox type movie.
I'll catch that on the Redbox.
Definitely Redbox.
James Franco. I love James Franco. So I think he's pretty great in this.
Yes, he is.
And it's Sam Raimi.
Oh, no,
Sam
Raimi's okay. Mila.
Oh, I love Mila.
She stole the show in that film.
I love Mila. Yeah, yeah. And she's really good.
Believe it or not, she had the most range in that film.
Well, yeah, she's the one character that had something to do. Her and James Franco are the two characters that actually had an arc.
They had an arc.
Yeah. Absolutely. Everyone else is pretty flat.
Flat.
But yeah. They're definitely. I'm a huge Mila Kunis fan.
Even with a big nose and looking green, she was still hot.
Like, oh, I can see under there. I can see that Russian hotness.
I can still see it.
Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. That Jeremy Renner, Gemma Arterton.
Man, I can't wait till that movie comes out on HBO.
So that's how you're gonna watch it.
I cannot justify spending money on this movie.
It looks like a hunk.
But at the same time,
you still want to see it.
I kind of just want to, you know, sit on my couch on a Sunday afternoon.
It's perfect for that.
Yeah.
I don't know about a Sunday afternoon. We're busy on Sundays. Snitch comes out on DVD.
Snitch
is the one with The Rock. That's because The Rock had 4 movies in theaters this year. Snitch was the first one, all the way back in February.
And the only one I'm not going to watch.
Drew, I would say this is one, even if you Redbox it, I think you would be you'd be happy with Redboxing it. It's worth checking out. It's worth checking out.
What's
just to watch The Rock.
Snitch?
Snitch is all about mandatory minimum sentencing laws for drugs, right? And specifically, The Rock's son, like his estranged son, got pinched for drugs. Mm-hmm. A friend of his rolled on him, and then the only way he could get out of his mandatory 10-year sentence was by rolling on someone else, by being a snitch. But he doesn't know anyone because he's not really into drugs. It was like kind of a misunderstanding. So The Rock, his father, he goes to the DA, who's played by Susan Sarandon, and he's like, listen, what if I go undercover for you guys and I bring in someone for you? Then can you use that to get my son out? So he goes into this whole, he does this whole undercover thing. It's definitely a good premise. It's a good premise. It's a small movie. He's very it's a very character-driven film. The only problem I really have with it, I have two problems with the movie. One is that it's The Rock, right?
Yeah.
So he's a man mountain. He's 6'4", 6'5". He's all muscle.
The walls and stuff.
Right, and you know he can. Right. There's at least one scene in this movie where like 3 or 4 kids that are like half his size, they kick his ass and leave him on the sidewalk. And he's like, oh, and he's like spitting. And
no!
I'm like, I'm not buying that for 1 second. They didn't even have like bats or anything. Like they beat him with his fists. Get out of here. He's huge.
Oh, no.
And then the other problem I have with it, for like the first hour and 15 minutes of the movie, it kind of refuses to be a stereotypical action movie. It's like it wants to be it's a drama. It's upfront about it. It's not going to glorify action.
Right.
But then his character gets to a point where he's like, oh, that's it. He goes to a gun store. He gets these guns.
Oh.
He gets in his big rig truck, and there's a big car chase. And he's
the
shooting.
Rambo moment.
He has his Rambo moment, exactly. Right. And it didn't feel genuine when it coming on the heels of the rest of the movie. But outside of that, I think The Rock is great. He's a great actor.
He really is getting better and better.
He's getting much better. Between this and Pain and Gain, those two movies this year, he's been fantastic in them. Whatever you think about the movies themselves, The Rock is great. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else this guy does.
Coolness.
He's only 41?
Yeah, he's got a way to go. This is on DVD coming out?
This is coming out on DVD on Tuesday. Okay. And also coming out on DVD on Tuesday, House of Cards. The Kevin Spacey Netflix original series.
Everybody watch it.
It's great.
Everybody watch it.
I lost my mind on that thing. I didn't say lost because I enjoyed it, but I spent
a whole weekend
watching that thing.
You binged
I kept saying to myself, okay, this is the last one, I swear.
But then at the end of it, you're like, no, I want to know what happens next.
One more.
And they're filming, they're already doing the second season. You know, they've been working on that for a while now, so they'll be cranking that out pretty soon.
Brilliant.
And it's, you know, David Fincher. Yep. He directed the first 2 episodes. Robin Wright's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He got Joel Schumacher to do a couple episodes, and he did a great job. James Foley, like he's got really good directors doing
fantastic.
These episodes.
Fantastic.
So we'll see what he gets for the second season.
I like the idea of the Netflixes and the Amazons and the Hulus creating their own content.
Yeah, Amazon really got into that lately, trying to greenlight. And what did they? They gave something a shot, and then it didn't. It wasn't. Like along the lines of Netflix doing Arrested Development, it was a show that was trying to get revived
from TV onto
Amazon, but not enough people checked out the show during that 1 month. They had Amazon put like all 16 pilots out on their site for a month, And
no kidding.
Yeah, and they didn't advertise this. It was weird. Huh. I found out about this after the fact. They put 16 pilots on their website for people to watch for free and to vote on and to comment on. And the ones that got all the best feedback is what got greenlit.
Though.
It is smart. But then a lot of stuff that people thought were going to be guaranteed to get greenlit didn't get greenlit.
Yikes.
And now it's killing me that I can't remember
what
that one show was. Because you'll be like, what? I thought that one.
Ah, you thought it might have made it.
Oh, well. All right. So that's what's on DVD. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
In theaters this week, we have The Man of Steel.
Nice.
The new Superman.
So exciting.
I just want to read the synopsis for this movie. It's actually quite funny.
Synopsis, yes.
A young journalist is forced to confront his secret extraterrestrial heritage when Earth is invaded by members of his race.
I guess when you put it like that, it sounds pretty silly.
Sounds really silly. Yeah.
I like that they...
So could you be talking about Superman?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, it should just say, plot summary, Superman.
Superman.
Yeah.
Period. Exactly. You know what this is.
Exactly.
It's like, what's Santa Claus about?
Right.
You know, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I think everyone's looking forward to it. Right now, the only question is, with Iron Man 3 being just short, this weekend it's at like $395 million in the U.S. box office, so it's definitely across 400.
Wow.
Will Man of Steel beat Iron Man?
Wow.
Or will Iron Man be the big movie of the summer?
It's DC versus Marvel.
DC versus Marvel.
Yes, it is.
That's funny. The old rivalry is back.
Leave it to comic book guy here to point that out.
Big screen.
$400 million U.S. is a lot of money.
Just domestic, $400 million.
Just domestic. The last Superman movie, Superman Returns, is the one that made the most of all the Superman movies, and it only made $200 million.
Wow.
But it also wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. And the reviews for this, the reviews aren't out yet, but the buzz is so strong. Warner Brothers obviously loves what they have because they've been promoting the hell out of it.
Well, I mean, they've got a great cast.
Oh, the cast
Superman's dad is... The original Jor-El
Russell Crowe.
Freaking Russell Crowe. And then he comes to Earth and he just happens upon Kevin Costner as his human father.
And Diane Lane.
Diane Lane, yes.
But the first Superman movie is kind of credited for being the first movie where it's a comic book, but it's also, they brought in a really good cast. Paid out the nose for Marlon Brando.
Gene Hackman.
They fought so hard against Gene Hackman on that movie. And then they were both, when you watch the movie, even though Superman's played by Christopher Reeves, when you watch it, first build, Marlon Brando.
Yep.
Second build, Gene Hackman. And also this guy, Christopher Reeves. This guy. This tall dude with the dark hair.
And he was an unknown completely back then, I think it was.
He was more into theater and stuff. And then even when he was doing Superman, he was like, oh, I want to do serious movies. And then he was stuck being Superman.
Yeah.
This guy, Henry Cavill, he's smart. He already has his next movie lined up through Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is like, we love you as Superman. We want you in our Man from U.N.C.L.E. update, because Man from U.N.C.L.E. is a 60s TV show, and they've been working on that one for years, and finally they got the pieces going. It's finally going to happen, and Superman is their lead for that one.
All right.
If you want some backstory to Man from U.N.C.L.E., watch Archer.
Oh yeah,
on Netflix.
I'm
lying, by the way.
It's very much, but it's like
a parody.
Is it a parody of Man from U.N.C.L.E. though, or just the 60s stuff? Mission Impossible.
But there's elements from all of those. Mission Impossible, Man from U.N.C.L.E.
So there's no one on the show called like Ilya Ulyaki or some crazy name like that. That's such a ridiculous name.
I know.
I remember my dad telling me about that show when I was younger, and just him telling me the name, like, what?
Yes.
There wasn't a TV show with a guy with that name. He's like, no, there was.
Yes, there was.
And I watched the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. What else is coming out next weekend?
This is The End, the new...
the meta comedy.
The meta apocalypse comedy.
At the end of the world, biblical end of the world comedy.
While attending a party at James Franco's house, Seth Rogen, Jay Baruchel, and many other celebrities are faced with the apocalypse.
Have you seen the trailer at all?
I saw the trailer, and you know, it's a really sad thing. I had an opportunity to see it for free.
You should have
taken it. But let me tell you something, man. I learned my lesson with those see it for free things. You got to get there super early.
You mean one of those ones where they send out the mass invite?
Yes.
I stopped going to those so long ago,
I had no
man.
Idea. The massive amount of people.
Really?
It was supposed to start at 7:30. I got there at 7:15. They were like, sorry, we're full up.
That's not happening.
No.
you got to get there like 6:30, 6 o'clock early. To get in line.
Really? Yeah.
Because it's a deal, you know, 300 people fit in the theater, so they'll send out 1,000 invites.
Yeah, yep. They. But and you know the thing that really bummed me out, they had gift bags, man.
No, oh, man, they really what's wanted people to see that.
Can I just get the gift bag?
Yeah, no, there's.
I just want that fun promotional stuff.
It does, please.
I'm really looking forward to this. This one has really good reviews so far.
Oh, cool.
Some reviewers are like saying this is kind of a modern comedy classic for people that like for people that enjoy these actors and these comedians. Mm-hmm. Like they're really, really gonna love this. It's the first film directed by Seth Rogen.
Nice.
He directed with his buddy Evan Goldberg. Together, they co-wrote Superbad when they were in high school, and then obviously that went on to make a bunch of money. And you know they're pretty much set, the two of them.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is their first directorial effort, which is. I've read that it's pretty straightforward.
Right.
You know, they did the one thing that they could do, which is that they made sure visually they were just telling the story.
Gotcha.
You know, they didn't detract from what they were trying to do. So that's the least you could do. Don't get in your own way as a director.
Yeah. Very good advice.
So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that next weekend. I don't know what they were thinking putting up against Man of Steel, though.
I know.
Any movie coming out the same weekend is like...
Superman's going to knock him out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Superman's definitely going to knock him out. I like the
part... But it's all right. This movie... I think this movie's going to make more of its money on the other end.
On the back end?
Yeah.
The long run?
Yeah, because it's going to be one of those cult classics, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Because if they say it's going to be the next comedy classic, then every college kid is going to have this in his collection.
Absolutely.
For the next 10-20 years.
Right. Yeah. Hazy college dorm rooms around the country.
Exactly.
And the people play themselves, right?
Yeah, yes. Pretty much. Well, they play versions of themselves.
Exaggerated versions. Yeah.
But they use their real names.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
In the trailer, in the Red Band trailer, all they do is just make fun of how James Franco sucks dick. they're like, what? Franco hasn't sucked any dick lately? This isn't a party unless James Franco sucks a dick.
That's Sam McBride going on.
Yeah.
And then in the trailer, they show Aziz Ansari. He's like hanging onto the hole. He's like, and Craig Robinson's kicking him in the face. He's like, stop kicking me in the face, Craig. He's like, you're already in the hole. It's too late for you.
It's too late.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's going to be good.
I'm going to see that.
Next weekend's going to be a good weekend.
Yes, it is.
This weekend, The Purge, Internship, not too good. Next weekend, Man of Steel.
Next weekend's going to be so great.
Nice.
All right, so let's take a quick break. Man, this first segment went long, but that's because we're having a good time. No,
I need to apologize. This is content. This is why we have you here.
We're having wonderful content. This is great. So we're going to take a quick break. I need to get a new beer. You need a new beer, Carl?
I need to be refreshed.
Drew needs his Gatorade's empty.
Yeah, my Gatorade's
empty. So we're going to step into the Crespo Disco. This is where I play a song from a movie. I'm not going to tell people. Actually, last week, real quick, I forgot to say what last week's song was.
They didn't know anyway.
No one knew, and I forgot to say what it was. If you like that song, it's from Code 46, the movie Code 46. The song is called Song Number 6 by Fatboy Slim. Ooh. Actually, not by Fatboy Slim, though. It's by one of his bands called Freak Power.
Nice.
So that's from last week's episode. This week's Crespo Disco. Enjoy it. I'll let you know if I remember what it is on the other end. And then we'll be back with Drewster Cogburn, with Cool Carl Verna, the Video Burna, in the Crespo Dome. It's going to be wild. I hope you're ready, Carl.
I am so ready.
Yes. All right. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
S-R-N.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Cinema Crespediso, episode 22. We're in the midst of episode 22. We're having a good time. Right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Word. I'm here with Juicy Cogburn and Carl Verna.
Yes, sir.
I'm so glad to have you guys here with me.
Fun.
We're having a great
time. I'm glad to be here, Chris.
We're having a great time.
Good stuff.
We're just hanging out, talking, shooting the shit, having some great conversations. And I realized, hey, maybe we should record some of these conversations and let the people in on it.
You didn't push record on the first half?
Oh, time to re-record.
We've had some problems in the past.
Wouldn't be the first time we've had to record two episodes in a day.
It makes for a good time.
And I'm still convinced that the second episode wasn't as good as the first.
Nah, wow.
I don't think it was.
Don't worry, guys. I got all day. My in-laws wanted me over, and I was just like, I got something to do.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's going to take all day. Yeah. It's going to take all day. All right, so here we are. We're chilling with Carl Verna.
Yes.
Let's get some proper introductions out there for you right now. Let's let the people know. Right now, you're working at Full Sail.
Yes, I am.
Full Sail University is a pretty big school now in Central Florida.
Yes.
I've seen them advertising in national magazines.
Everywhere.
Like, if you have a Guitar World magazine laying around, there's going to be a Full Sail ad in there somewhere.
Yes. We are everywhere.
So what do you do exactly over there?
Okay, basically, I teach music video production.
Nice.
I teach commercial production.
Nice.
And I teach budgeting.
And are you a professor? How do they work there?
I'm a senior lab instructor.
Senior lab instructor.
I don't have a PhD.
Okay. So that's what makes a professor. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Let me a copa on that
I
one.
Should be a damn.
at this point, yes, you know, real world right. life experience yeah. account oh, yeah. for something, man.
You would think.
We'll call you Dr. Verna.
Call me Dr. Verna.
Dr. Verna.
Every time I show up around you guys, I get a new nickname.
Yep.
Yes.
we're here with Dr. Verna.
Yes.
That was my father, by the way. He was a dentist.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Well, we don't want to mix you guys like that.
No, but so basically, there's a lot more to making music videos than what meets the eye.
Absolutely.
There's a whole science and psychology to it.
Yeah.
So I want the kids to understand that. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have done music videos in high school. They've done stuff on their own.
Right.
They show it to me. I critique them, and I always critique them in a positive way. So it's like, okay, here's how you could have made this 1,000 times better.
Constructive criticism.
And I show them the business aspect of it, how to obtain an agent, mm-hmm. what production companies out there cater to young music video directors. Because the way it works in the industry is a production company is set up mm-hmm. to primarily make commercials and feature films.
Right. Uh-huh.
Because that's what makes money.
Right.
But what they'll do is they'll look for young directors out there who have promise and talent.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that comes from the worlds of short films and music videos.
Makes sense. Yeah.
The advantage to music videos is that more people see them.
Right.
Right. So they're like, oh, there's a new hot kid out there that just made a whole bunch of hot music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assign them a rep, which is an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sign them to our production company and let's groom them for commercials. And eventually, they'll be making feature films.
Very nice.
I show them that whole process.
You try to get them on their way. You help them get on their way. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Full Sail, correct me if I'm wrong. I always had the impression that Full Sail, because I had a cousin that went to Full Sail. He did their film program late 90s. Okay. Went back when it was like the school was a lot smaller. It wasn't taking up that entire parking
it's 90,
lot.
90 acres now, I think.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Insane. It's still growing.
It blew up so much in the last decade. When he was going back there, and subsequently, I've been to a few local film festivals, short film festivals, where I've seen works from Full Sail students. It always seems like that school really hammers home the technical side, but they really don't get into the creative
side.
You're
a smart man.
There's no how-to classes on storytelling.
Well, this is the deal. Full Sail is set up as an accelerated program.
Right.
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 So the kids get a bachelor's degree in 22 months.
Right.
Right.
Which means they're doing labs at like 2 in the morning. And I remember my cousin going through crazy hours. Yeah.
So, yes, we do teach the technical aspects.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of creativity, in terms of how to write, you know, that is something that needs to be developed over time.
Yeah.
You know, which is why it's really hard for us to compete against the UCLA's, USC's, mm-hmm. NYU film schools.
Right.
Because the people that make those short films, 9 times out of 10, they're graduate students.
That's true, too.
They've lived, they've experienced things, they have that perspective on the world.
And they've been doing it for 4 years.
They've been doing it already for a while.
Yeah. As opposed to 22 months.
Yeah.
And that life experience, you can't you can't recreate that. Yeah. That's hard to quantify. That's very, very important that exactly. you mentioned that. Yeah.
So we train the kids. Like, a kid will come out of Full Sail not only knowing pre-production, production, and post-production.
Right.
So, and we have the latest technology. I don't know how the school does it, but we get stuff before Spielberg and Lucas gets it.
Really?
It's
That's
insane.
Crazy. Wow.
Which is like the best playhouse in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so the what we found, what the kids were coming out of Full Sail and they were leaps ahead technology-wise mm-hmm. than anywhere else. So what we had to do is we had to go ahead and channel them towards companies that were forward-thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of the places where they go to are companies that are on the cusp, cutting edge, doing new stuff, that have the technology that we do.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily trying to make a student into an auteur,
mm-hmm.
necessarily. We're trying to make a student that the industry is going to need. Mm-hmm. For them to employ.
You're making craftsmen.
We're making craftsmen.
Okay.
Is what we're doing.
And which is... That's necessary.
The backbone.
Yeah, you need people that know how to do their job exactly. before they can really start experimenting with what they're doing.
Craftsmen are only one step away from an artist.
Well, only one step away. And then what happens is we have tons of kids that end up at ILM,
mm-hmm.
Digital Domain.
Yep.
We have tons of kids that are becoming... There's a new term. We were talking about film disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new term. There's a new position on the block called a DIT, which is a digital intermediate tech.
Okay.
So what happens is... Traditionally on a film set, you have the cinematographer, the DP cameraman guy,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right, who lights the set. And then you have the first assistant cameraman,
right,
who controls all the operations of the camera. You have a second AC who puts the film into the magazine.
Okay.
Right. Now that we don't have film in a lot of situations anymore, you need somebody to paint the camera. You need somebody who controls the settings of the camera.
Okay.
So now the DP is saying, I'm lighting for a night exterior.
You have to change the settings on the
camera
as well.
The
settings
on the camera wow. that have to adjust to that, right?
Yeah.
Now, these DPs, they've been around for years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
They don't want to mess with that kind of stuff.
Right.
So now you have digital intermediate techs who prepare the media
mm-hmm.
for post-production.
That's interesting. So mm-hmm. now if you're working with digital cameras, not only do you have to light your scene, but mm-hmm. you have to prepare your camera yep. as well. And it goes beyond just fixing an f-stop and
yes.
changing the lens.
Exactly. Traditionally, wow. there would be an f-stop yeah. situation. Once you get your meter readings, you set the camera f-stop towards the meter reading. Mm-hmm. But now there's just so much more.
And for people at home, an f-stop is just, it's literally just how much light you're allowing into
yes.
a camera. You can make a lot of light yeah. come in, a little bit of light.
Too little, you underexpose. Too right. much, you overexpose.
It's a lot like your eyeball, your retina. Your retina opens and closes when you shine
exactly.
light into it. Man, I realized that,
yep.
that. Yeah, digital cameras, it's such an advanced technology mm-hmm. beyond what film, because film is just a couple of sprockets
yep.
and a diode and things
mechanical
are just going
mechanical
and
some
gears yep. and light passing through it.
Yep.
Digital camera, you got chips.
Yep,
and,
absolutely.
Man, that's ridiculous.
Actually, these cameras are is they're really intense hard drives.
Right.
That's what they are. They're collecting data.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the sensors see light, turns into ones and zeros.
Right.
The more ones and zeros you can handle, the better your picture looks.
Do you still consider that photography? Cinematography?
Yeah, absolutely. You know why? Because when it was invented, that was the technology of the day.
Right.
It was like, okay, we're going to get this light on this chemical substrate,
mm-hmm.
and those chemicals change
mm-hmm.
because of the light.
Right.
That was our technology. Now it's we're acquiring the light instead of a film medium. We're putting it on a chip.
Yeah.
The chip
absorbs translating the light.
Zero to one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's so weird, man.
It is.
It's a type of thing. It makes you like, you go to the airport, you smoke a joint, you try to think about it. You're like, what is going on, man?
Oh, it blows
I
your
don't
mind.
Blow
get
my mind. It's ones and zeros
mind.
Now.
Yeah.
Yes, everything. Man. It's all ones and zeros that float through the air.
That is
well.
Absolutely.
That's pretty wild.
The cool thing is that, yeah, you can do a lot more now in post.
Yeah.
The thing that cinematographers were having a hard time with, like, let's say we're shooting right outside your window over here
uh-huh.
and there's bright sunlight out there, so it makes the sky blown out.
Yeah.
All right. You can expose to the sky and get a beautiful sky, but then all the trees and grass become an undesirable light.
Yeah, because you're focusing on the sky.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Now what you can do in post is you can do power windows
mm-hmm.
so I can isolate the sky.
Oh.
Yep.
So I can tell the computer everything that looks like the sky, mm-hmm. make it this color.
Right.
And everything that looks like grass and trees, make it that color.
So then you could film something with the sky being blown out
yes.
and then you can later take that blown uh-huh. out light, a sky that just looks like indecipherable whiteness.
Yes.
and fix it so that I actually see the clouds again. Absolutely. And the blue sky. Man, uh-huh. That's cheating.
And that's just, well, yeah, I know. Right? And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The glory of post-production. That is what it is. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's really easy to say this. It used to be, oh, we'll fix it in post, which was like not the thing to say on set.
Yeah.
But now you say, oh, we'll fix it in post.
And it can actually be fixed.
And it actually can be worked out. That's not as expensive as it used to be, et cetera, et cetera.
That's something. That's the evolution of cinema. It's the evolution of filmmaking.
The thing that I don't like is that, you know, the technology kind of ruined our industry for a lot of people. Like, everybody with a camera now thinks they can make a movie.
Yeah, it happens with everything.
Everybody with a cell phone thinks they're a photographer.
Yes.
Everyone that can put together a couple of microphones and a laptop, all of a sudden you got a podcast.
Like, hey, you know, and anybody who can watch television thinks they're a cook now.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true. They are totally not.
That's just the way it is.
Armchair quarterback syndrome.
Everything becomes so much more readily available, which is great because it's I'm going to blow this word, the democratization, democratization of art. In this case, filmmaking.
Yep.
Now anyone can grab a prosumer grade HD camera and start shooting.
Yep.
The bad thing about that is now there are so many freaking short films that you got to sift through.
Everything's oversaturated.
It's like with music. It's so easy now for people to produce music in their own home. You don't have to rent a studio. You don't have to have a record company.
Yeah.
Now there's just so much freaking music out there,
which
and
is
so much
why,
of it's mediocre and bad. Yes. You have to sift through it,
which is why we're always going to need the institutions.
Yeah,
you have to have the gatekeepers.
Yeah,
you know, you got to have somebody to sift through all that crap and hopefully give the public something good.
At least some of it. At least let some of it slip through.
Right.
Yeah, they're not necessarily the tastemakers, but you know, like you said, the gatekeepers.
The gatekeepers.
Yeah. We do need them.
You got to have them, and they have the machine. You know, because at the end of the day, you could be a brilliant independent filmmaker. You could do something that's amazing. How are you going to let the world know it's there?
Yeah. All people are going to see it.
And no one could possibly see it. So, yeah, you need those machines in place to make that stuff happen.
That's true. That's very true. All right. I wanted to get real quick into, we were talking about the evolution of film.
Yep.
I want to talk about the evolution of Carl Verna.
Yeah.
Are you originally from Florida?
No, I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Are you born and raised in Brooklyn?
I was born in Haiti, actually.
Born in Haiti. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Born, and how long were you in Haiti for?
Dude. Too short of a time for him to remember anything.
Yeah, one of those deals. All right. Yeah.
You know what's so funny? I went to visit Haiti when I was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? And then they called me Blanois at the airport, and roughly translated to their slang, it means white black guy.
Wow.
And I was like, word, it's like that. My people.
Haitians races against Haitians.
Is dissing me.
Man, I'm sure in Puerto Rico they got names for Puerto Ricans born in the States who don't speak Spanish. They probably call them idiots.
Yes.
That's probably what they call me. You're idiota.
You're Puerto Rican?
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't.
Not in a million years.
Yeah, but my
you're Italian.
Right? Me and my brother were just talking about that, how a lot of people say you think he's Italian. Like, no, we're Puerto Rican. I mean, we're American. We don't speak Spanish.
Sure, just like me.
You guys don't speak a lick of Spanish.
We don't speak a lick of it.
Oh, man.
Carl, that sound means we got to take a quick break so we can play Drewster Cogburn versus the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every week.
I was right.
Every week when we have a guest on, we do a game.
Okay.
I pit the guest versus Drew. It's Drewster Cogburn versus the world. You represent the world.
All right, my brother. You're going to kill me.
I have a different game every week.
I'm 3-2?
Out of six games, he's 3-2-1.
3-2-1.
3-2-1.
I had a tie last week.
And I come up with a different game every week. So I got a game for you two guys.
Okay.
This week's game is called... Funny, we were just talking about this. New York or not New York?
Oh, man.
All of these movies are set in New York.
Ah.
But where are they filmed in New York?
I like it.
Okay, Drew, last week was a tie, right? So I'm going to go ahead and let you pick. I have two sets of five movies, set A and set B. Do you want A or B?
B.
Okay. So I'll give you the first five, and we'll keep track of your score. Here we go. So, Drew, the film Watchmen. Scenes are set in New York City.
Yes.
But was it shot in New York?
No.
That is correct. It was shot in Vancouver.
Good one, Drew.
Nice job. Nice job. All right. Number two, Weekend at Bernie's. The original Weekend at Bernie's. I think that also came up in today's conversation. Was that shot in New York City? Yes or no?
Yes.
It was.
Oh, snap.
Drew's 2-0 so far.
I'm going to get killed.
Number three, Godzilla, the 90s Godzilla, directed by Roland Emmerich. Takes place in New York City, but was it shot there?
Yes.
That is correct.
That is so correct.
Drew's 3-0. I remember when they shot there. Yeah. And they had all those, the extras running down the street.
I was living there at the time.
Yeah, were you? There you go.
Why you got to give them the easy ones, man?
Yeah, they seem easy, right?
I feel like I'm getting set up here.
I have no idea what's going on.
He randomly picked A and B. They're random. Right, number four. A Little Shop of Horrors with Rick Moranis, Steve Martin. That was set in New York City, but was it filmed there?
No.
That is correct. It was all shot on a set in Pinewood Studios in England.
Oh, damn, England.
Man.
Yeah.
I was going to say LA. Okay.
They totally filmed it in England. Guesses. They constructed a whole downtown set with an elevated train and everything.
Pinewood Studios, Pinewood. Biggest studios in the world.
It is, right? Yep. And they just expanded it, I think.
Now it's even bigger.
Ridiculous. All right, Drew, you're 4-0, man.
I know. I'm tearing it up.
We're making this tough on Carl.
Oh, boy.
Directed by an acquaintance of Mr. Verna. Yes. Fantastic Four.
Ah.
Set in New York City, but was it shot there?
Yes.
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
Only a 5-0. Couple, only a couple of scenes with Jessica Alba. Yeah, but yeah.
Okay, good, because I was going to mention that.
Oh, wow.
It was a little bit of both.
It is a little bit of both. Like the whole Brooklyn Bridge sequence, not in New York.
Yes.
They constructed a bridge, and they green screened everything, and it looks fantastic.
I love when they do that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I was looking at it, like, I thought, all right.
Like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, that whole Golden Gate Bridge thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Studio.
Wait, that was fake?
Fake, dude.
They're not going to shut down a bridge for a week to film a movie.
Well, I figured maybe a couple hours or something.
Oh, man.
Trust me, I'm not that's surprised good, that you're surprised.
That's how good they
so
are.
Well done.
That's it looks really good.
Amazing. Yeah. It's like Life of Pi, that tiger, man. You know it's fake.
Seriously, there were some
parts.
But
you're looking at it.
There were some parts watching that movie. I was like, maybe they used the real tiger for this part.
I think they snuck a real tiger there once or twice.
Just this part.
It's ridiculous.
It's all fake.
All right, Carl. I'm sorry, buddy, but you got to go 5-0 here.
Man, Drew.
I tore it up. I'm using that, dude.
I don't think he's ever gone 5-0 in anything either.
And I've had some really terrible practice rounds recently.
And
as well.
I thought I put some tricky ones in that one.
All right,
so
thank you.
We'll see what happens here. All right, Carl.
What's going on?
Rumble in the Bronx.
Rumble in the Bronx.
The Jackie Chan Rumble in the Bronx. Was that? It takes place in New York, Rumble in the Bronx, but was it filmed in New York?
That was not shot in New York.
That is correct. It was shot in Vancouver.
Vancouver, Canada.
Number two.
Keep them easy like that, please.
Okay. Being John Malkovich. Takes place in New York and parts of New Jersey. But was it filmed there?
I'm going to say no.
Oh, it was.
It was shot in New York.
It was. They totally shot it on the streets of New York City.
I went 50-50. I was trying to remember scenes from it. All I remember is that weird office building with floor 5.5 or whatever the hell it was.
The half floor. So weird. All right, well. We're going to keep
Drew,
on going.
You already beat me.
Drew already beat him.
Already, look at that.
We're going to keep going here. Number three, The Great Gatsby, which just came out. Takes place in New York City, but was it shot there?
Oh, I didn't see the film.
Okay.
I know what it's about.
Okay.
I saw the original.
The Robert Redford one.
Yeah. Love the original. Okay, I'm going to say, because of the fact that so many special effects takes place in that, I'm going to say not New York.
That's a good reasoning there. Yeah. It all was shot in Australia.
They needed really? Big, huge, giant sets for that.
Huge
sets.
So they shot it in Sydney. And Baz Luhrmann's from Australia. So any chance he can get to film at home.
Stay home.
Kick-Ass.
You know Kick-Ass? Yes, I love Kick-Ass.
That takes place in New York City.
The next one is coming out.
Yeah, it is. We always saw trailer for it.
Girl's getting older and older.
She's like 15 years old now. It's crazy. Was the original Kick-Ass filmed in New York? It takes place there, but was it filmed there?
You know, there were a couple of scenes that I looked at, and I was like, I don't know. It looks like they're trying to cheat New York. I would say no.
That's very observational. Very good. It was not shot in New York. It was shot in both Pinewood in England and in Toronto.
In Toronto. I knew it.
Toronto is one of those cities.
I used to work in Toronto, so I know the streets, what they use to double as New York.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know better, you'd swear you were in New York.
Yeah, sometimes it's
not bad.
It's pretty incredible
they
how they pull it off.
They did a good job on that one.
And finally, Cloverfield.
Ooh.
Cloverfield takes place in New York. Was it filmed there?
Wait a minute, let me think about Cloverfield for a second, because I know there was that one scene. They were just going to turn up buildings and all of that.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I'll say no.
It was.
Ah!
It totally was.
Damn
it. Yep.
Drew, you kicked me.
Yeah,
Dude, nice round.
Well played, sir. Nice. Drew won pretty handily. Nice. That was a fun edition of Drew Chicago
versus so Cloverfield World. Shot in New York.
Shot
huh?
in New York, yeah. Totally shot there, 100%.
Okay, I believe you.
Not even like in another city. It was pretty incredible. I mean, they might have done some studio work, obviously, but. Yeah, really shot there in the streets and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good game that you're playing that, because that's something that is getting harder and harder to tell these days.
It is.
The set extensions and everything that they're doing. Wow.
Yeah, the blue screen work. Yes, and, I mean, you can film almost anywhere and make it look like where you need it to be.
Oh, totally. Yep.
Which
totally.
Is pretty wild stuff. So, Drew, that puts you...
Wow,
4-2.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
I'll be back. Okay, so back to where you were. Where were we talking about before?
Yes.
Before we were rudely interrupted by that horrible game.
It's my fault.
Well, I did want to talk to you about. Okay, we were talking about where you're coming up from. Mm-hmm. So you're born in Haiti.
Yes.
Moved to New York.
Yep.
And then you were pretty much raised there, Brooklyn, the whole time?
Pretty much. We actually moved to Canada first.
Okay.
So I lived in Montreal for a little bit.
Oh,
only because,
Montreal.
Yeah, yeah. Only because of the language thing.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
French.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and then moved to New York, did the first grade on up.
Okay.
In New York City. Fell in love with movies.
Yeah.
Through comic books. My brother and I were comic book freaks.
Nice.
I saw Star Wars. I'm dating myself, but I saw Star Wars in the theater.
Nice.
And from that moment on, I was like, gotta figure out a way to either become a pilot or a filmmaker. And my parents were like, you can't make any money making films, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
people think that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So I got scared into joining the Navy because of that. I was going to become a Navy pilot.
Okay.
Right around the time that was happening, Spike Lee came out with She's Gotta Have It.
Nice.
Friends of mine from my neighborhood worked on the movie.
Oh, wow.
I was completely jealous, and I was like, there's no way. I love movies more than you guys.
Yeah.
How is it possible that I'm over here in Asia? You guys are in Brooklyn shooting movies. I got to get out of this situation.
Yeah, right, right.
So make a long story short, I saw an ad for Full Sail while I was in the Navy.
Oh, wow.
And that was back in the early 90s,
okay.
late 80s.
Yeah.
The film program had just started at Full Sail.
Wow.
I went to Full Sail, graduated in 92.
Mm-hmm.
While I was at Full Sail, I did a television show, right? I did a television show. There was this guy, Bartel. He was on the radio down here in the early 90s on Hot 97. What was it? 102 Jams.
Okay.
102 Jams. And I did a radio show at Rollins College.
Nice.
The radio show at Rollins College put me in touch with a whole bunch of record industry people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had their contacts. So when I graduated school, I started working at Saturday Night Live at the film unit. And I was directing music videos on the side.
Right.
With the connects that I had made from the radio show.
Right.
And, you know, and then things just progressed. And I was fortunate enough to be around super talented directors that were changing the rules of music video at the time.
Like Hype Williams.
Yep. Diane Martel. Yep. Marcus Nispel. You may know him from the CNC Music Factory video.
Marcus Nispel, isn't he the guy who did the Texas Chainsaw remake?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And he also did Pathfinder.
Yes.
You know, it just so happened that all these music videos directors I was working with all graduated into feature films.
Interesting.
So they exposed me to that world as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a chance to work on their features. I got a chance to see how they organize themselves for the feature films.
Right.
I learned the studio system a little bit. And I after 300 music videos, 150 commercials,
wow.
I kind of got burnt out.
Understandable.
You know what I mean?
I can see that.
Yeah.
Right?
I kind of got burnt out. You know, it was like Groundhog Day every time.
Yeah.
You know? And right around that time, I contacted the president of Full Sail University. We're friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I would love to teach kids how to make music videos.
Nice.
I would love to get into that. Do you guys do that? He was like, how soon can you get on the plane?
They're like, funny, we're looking for such a man.
That's great.
And, you know, and the rest is history. And fortunately, since being down here, my career is still going strong.
Yeah.
You know, people fly down from L.A. and New York. Mm-hmm. I can offer them incredible deals on their music videos.
And videos are being shot here at Full Sail.
Yep.
I did a little bit of research on the Googles.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy to find a photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Of Mr. Verna over here, Dr. Verna, not your father, directing the Boys to Men video at Full Sail. When was that done? How recently was that?
That was last year.
Okay.
Right?
Because it looked pretty recent.
Yeah, super recent. Yeah. And let me tell you, when you work with guys of that caliber,
mm-hmm.
it's a dream.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they're ultra professional.
Oh, my God.
They've been
Every
around the block.
Every take was amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
It's
always gold.
Yeah.
And you know, their publicist was like tapping me on the shoulder. They gotta go. Please, one more. So I wanted to make that music video as a throwback to the 90s
yeah.
types of music videos with the slightly melodramatic thing going on. Obviously, like, it's a love story.
All of them in white suits.
Yeah. And then it was well received. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more artists are contacting me about coming down here.
Awesome.
And doing stuff. Very the school nice. Loves it because it's advertising for school.
Obviously. Yeah.
The students get to work with A-list artists.
I was going to ask you about that because there's I saw a photo there that looked like the whole crew mm-hmm. with Boys to Men, yep. and there are a lot of young people in that crew.
Yeah.
Are you guys just straight up using students from your programs?
Yeah, what we do is in the heads of the departments are lab instructors,
mm-hmm.
and then the superstar students are our support staff.
Okay.
Is the way we do
Very
it.
Very nice.
So, it's perfect. And you know, a lot of times the artists have no idea that what's going on. These kids are so good.
Yeah.
You know,
they just show up to the set and see people working.
And they do their thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's seamless. It's fun. It's a blast.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That is very awesome. I wanted to ask you about this. What is Acme Filmbox?
Acme Filmbox is a friend of mine and I. We started this production company. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose of Acme Filmbox really is to kind of do projects that no one would ever dare to do.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
It's
ballsy.
Yeah. We know a network is not going to go for this. We know a studio is not going to go for this. So we needed to create that company.
Awesome.
And our first big project is the N-Word Chronicles.
I heard you talk about that on your... Yeah. Please enlighten our audience about the N-Word Chronicles. My mom would love to hear about the N-Word Chronicles right now.
So a lot of it comes from the fact that I just feel like that word is owned by people who malign the word.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I think with any... First of all, it's made up. It's a word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a bunch of consonants and...
Yes.
And vowels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So people, and understandably so, people are very sensitive about the use of it.
Absolutely.
Right? And I wanted to change people's perceptions mm-hmm. of what that word is.
Okay.
So I created a superhero whose name is N-Word,
mm-hmm.
and N-Word fights hateful crimes, racial crimes, gender bias crimes.
Nice.
He is trying to restore balance to the planet where it tips more to the scale of positivity.
Now, is his name N-Word or is his name the N-Word?
So his name is N-Word.
It is N-Word.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's his name.
That's now, his name. So now, it's the political, super politically correct, over the top, we're going to call him N-Word,
which the thing is hysterical. The N in N-Word actually stands for a complex supernucleotide from a cosmic collective.
Nice.
Now, the Cosmic Collective, their whole purpose is to bring positivity into the universe.
Okay.
Right? They fight the dark forces.
Okay. Yeah.
So every planet has an N-word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now they have to find a planet that's worthy, number one.
Yeah.
And they have to find a humanoid who's able to accept the supernucleotide.
Okay.
That and so they find that woman on the planet Earth. Her name is Maniga.
God, okay.
So the Ma Nigga is is injected with the supernucleotide.
Yeah.
And she gives birth to N-Word.
Wow.
So I created this whole universe. What I'm doing, it's a graphic novel initially.
Uh-huh.
Then what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and shoot a short film.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to unleash it out into the world.
Beautiful.
Can I say the website?
It's a little
racy.
Plug away.
Okay, the website starts in September. And it's www.niggastore.com.
Niggastore.com?
Niggastore.com.
N-I-G-G-A?
Yes.
All right.
Make sure people spell that right.
Yes. If not, you might come across something even crazier.
Some Occidental stuff you don't want anything to do with.
My business partner at Acme Filmbox was like, I can't believe that word was available.
Yeah. Nobody wants that website name.
Wow. All right.
So that's
coming in September, you said.
September is when everything gets launched.
Awesome.
I have an amazing artist. Amanda Beauregard is drawing the actual characters for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have all the character designs set up. I have a company in New York, More Famous Media, who's going to go ahead and do all my marketing for me.
Nice.
This is a serious deal. I have t-shirt designs.
You're going all out 100%.
That's awesome.
You're making a point and it's jokey, but it's still 100% serious.
Yep.
That's exciting,
That's
man.
Exactly it, Chris.
So that's the type of stuff that happens through Acme Filmbox.
Yeah.
So then what is Flea Farm Films?
Wow, Flea Farm Films was a company that I started with some people that ripped me off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because it looked pretty recent when I checked online. No, it was a bad deal.
I don't even
deal.
Want to get into the whole Fleet Farm film
It was
thing.
A bad deal.
It was a bad deal.
If you hear those words together again, people ignore them.
Yes. You know what's really interesting?
Focus on the Acme Film Box.
Acme Film Box is the way to go. You know what's really interesting is our industry is the one industry that attracts con artists more than any
I'm
other.
Sure.
Well, it was... You know what I mean? It was helped born by con artists, you know, by carnies and magicians, people that dealt in illusions and confidence games.
Yep. Those are
the exact people that started film.
And you know, and that's where with Flea Farm, actually, Acme is what Flea Farm is going to be.
Okay.
Yeah, so the resurrection, Acme is the resurrection of Flea Farm films.
Nice. The real, legit, actual version of what that
everything
was.
Everything is legit. We got the lawyers. We got the contracts. We got everything correct.
Very
now.
Nice.
We learned from our lessons in the past.
Oh, good.
Which
is the least you can do.
Yeah, I created this whole universe. I mean, the bad guys, this whole bitch, and... whole bitch looks like Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
And whole bitch uses the media, right, especially music, hip hop, and R&B, to spread her evil message.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. And her main thing is to corrupt women.
Okay.
That's her whole thing.
Okay.
So every time there's an issue with women, I interject that into whole bitches. Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's Nazi. And Nazi is a blind bad guy.
Okay.
And his name is Nazi. He can't see. Nazi.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You know, so I have Master Hater, who hates everybody.
Drinking that Haterade 24/7.
So basically, the whole idea is that N-word is supposed to prepare the planet Earth to be accepted into the cosmic collective.
Right.
Once you're in it's like the UN of the universe.
Like an allied planetary nation.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And once you're accepted into that world, your planet will never cease to exist. You have access to all the information that the first thinkers have.
Oh, man.
Make up the cosmic collective.
That sounds...
So there's a lot to it.
That sounds nice. Yeah, that sounds like a good deal.
Awesome. Sweet.
Yeah. I want to live in a world that's guaranteed to always exist and we can get all the knowledge that's always out there.
Yeah. And so the payoff is huge. Now, the paradox that N-Word has to face is that the closer he gets to his goal, the weaker his mother gets. So eventually, his mother's going to die.
Oh, spoiler.
Because of him doing good.
That's sad.
Yeah. It's an issue that eventually gets resolved.
Yeah.
But that's all I can say about that part.
I know. I like that. You definitely got a lot going on there. Layered stuff.
Layered.
It's definitely important to have that emotional core for the character, you know? Because if you can't remember the emotional beats of a story, then what's the point of remembering all the plot points?
You know? He's conflicted constantly.
It sounds like it.
He's brooding all the time.
It sounds like
his,
it.
His sidekick's name is Real Black.
Okay.
And Real Black is so dark, when he shuts his eyes and puts on his Real Black shades, he's invisible.
Oh, wow.
So we're talking like a Bill Duke level of blackness here.
Yes.
Purple black. And they have a scientist who helps put everything together for them. His name is IT Allgood.
Nice. Okay. It all good.
It is, yeah. That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's just a little bit of it.
That's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. September.
Yeah, so am I. Yep.
I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Oh, you guys will be definitely the first ones to get issues.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah.
Fantastic. We'll talk about it on the show.
I'm a big comic book fan.
He is. He's a comic book nerd and a half.
You're going to love this.
Awesome.
All right. So I got a few things here to get into, and then we're going to wrap up the show. We're having a great time here, Carl.
Word.
First off, I have a little bit of movie news. It's something that I want to try to remember to do every week. This week, I pulled out one thing. Are you a fan of the Expendables films at all, Carl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm liking them. I wish they were better.
They could be way
Everybody
better.
Everybody wishes they were better.
Yeah. They're a little mediocre for action movies, but I still like the idea of what's going on. Have you heard about the casting news for Expendables 3?
Oh, this is going to be good.
Dude, they're going off.
I think that's the best gimmick, isn't it?
That's the gimmick. Really, the only reason I'm seeing these movies is because they're putting these people together. And finally, we get to see some of these mashups of ridiculous actors.
Like that.
So, obviously, we already have people like Dolph Lundgren, Sylvester Stallone, it's his baby, Jason Statham, blah, blah, blah. Terry Crews is amazing in it. For Expendables 3, they already confirmed Nicolas Cage.
Oh, woo! Wow.
I don't know whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. I assume he would be a bad guy because he does that mega acting thing.
Sure.
But I don't know. He might not be.
Mm.
Wesley Snipes.
Yes! Oh, man.
Out of prison and back on the film set where he belongs.
Yeah.
Thank God. Mila Jovovich, because they do need some ladies in there.
Yeah, she's an action lady.
She's absolutely she's an action lady star. Now. Yeah.
She proved herself well.
Yeah, so I'm really glad that they're getting some of that in there. A little bit of estrogen, thank God, in there. We could always use just a little bit.
Just a smattering.
Jackie Chan.
Oh man.
Yes.
And I don't know if Jet Li's coming back, because Jet Li had a really small role in the second one.
Yeah. Wasn't he going to retire?
Am I wrong? Well, Jet Li is talking about retiring. He talked about not doing wushu kung fu films anymore. But then he made like four more since then.
I was confused about that. Okay.
Maybe, we need a mortgage payment or something. And then the latest thing that they announced, I think they're still negotiating, but they're bringing this guy in to definitely be the main bad guy, Mel Gibson.
Woo! Oh, wow.
Crazy. Yes!
I could see, Mel Gibson is the bad guy.
Mel Gibson is now playing into his new public persona of crazy asshole.
Yeah.
He's the bad guy in Machete Kills.
Yeah.
And that's the first time he's going to play a villain. Then he's going to follow it up with Expendables 3.
Makes sense.
Another villain.
Yeah.
So he's got to get back into people's good graces somehow.
That makes sense. Yep. That totally makes sense. That's smart marketing on his part. I wonder if that was his idea or his publicist or his people or
someone probably came to him with that. Yeah. Because first he tried doing the Beaver, the Jodie Foster movie where he had a beaver puppet on his hand.
He says, I'm sorry.
He is saying, I'm sorry for being an asshole like, the whole movie.
Sorry.
Yeah, like, I'm crazy. I'm sorry. I'm crazy. It's actually a pretty decent little movie. I like that movie.
I got to check that out then.
It's good. Jodie Foster directed it. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's...
People give her a hard time. I like Jodie Foster.
I like her too. I mean, she does some stinkers.
She
but
plays the bad guy in Elysium.
She plays the bad guy in Elysium. Speaking of Elysium,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so that'd be cool
to see her role in there.
And then what else? Oh, Get the Gringos, another movie he did. That went direct to video, direct to Netflix. No one gave it a shot, and that's an okay movie.
It wasn't bad.
He's
wasn't
fine
horrible.
In it. You know,
it was okay.
So we'll see. He's working on a big comeback. And then also, speaking of these type of mashup movies, they got coming out later this year a movie called Escape Plan. They just put out the poster at home. Go ahead and Google the Escape Plan movie poster. And it's a movie about like the world's most impenetrable prison. Not even like no one gets in, no one gets out. You know, it's one of these deals. And the person, like one person that's in there that gets locked away is like the guy that designed the prison. So he's gonna like have to break his way out. But he needs the help of another guy to help him get out because he can't do it alone. The guy that designs the prison is Sylvester Stallone.
Ooh.
And then the guy who's also an inmate that he gets to help him is Schwarzenegger.
Nice. What?
So it's a total Stallone, Schwarzenegger. Like they're teaming up as those two together in a movie, which everyone's been wanting since the 80s.
Yes.
It would have been better if it was in the 80s.
Oh, it would have been. It so would have been. Yeah.
30 years later.
Oh my God.
I'll still take it though.
And what's the name of that one again?
Escape Plan. It was originally called The Tomb. They just changed it to Escape Plan, and they just put out a poster, which is actually kind of a cool looking poster. The poster reminds me of the movie Cube.
Oh, I love The Cube.
Isn't that such a great movie?
It's so wacky.
What a wild movie. And the poster is like a bunch of cube cells and Stallone's in one and Schwarzenegger's in the other. And it looks
that might
cool.
be good.
I'm hoping so.
Especially if they put as much cerebral stuff in it as action.
I hope so.
They bounce it out that way. That could be really
and
good.
And they develop the characters and, you know, well, that's
throw
always
some psychology in there.
That's always what you want at the minimum, you know, not just straight action. You want something there to sink your teeth into. I mean, come on, we're not 12 years old anymore.
They did a Cube 2.
They did three of them. I didn't see them because I looked online first to check out the reviews, and I read that they were pretty disappointing.
Lame-o.
And I liked the first one so much, I don't want to sully it.
Good for you. It will. I saw two, and I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Do they try, like, answering questions and stuff?
That's too many questions.
I hate when
they
do that.
It's not the type of film. You don't really need the questions
answered. You don't want the answers.
No.
What makes it cool is
that there are
no answers.
Yes.
It's like the original Donnie Darko. When Donnie Darko came out, it's like, this movie is crazy.
Yeah.
All these things are open to interpretation.
Absolutely.
And then he did a director's cut. He's like, oh, no, I have answers. Here's the answer for this. Here's the answer. Like,
what it's so terrible.
What are you doing? Yeah. You're ruining it.
Ruined it.
You know?
Keep it a mystery.
Exactly. Some people just don't know what makes their movie special. It's weird how that happens. Okay, so that's the movie news for the week. I got a couple things from Twitter here. Twitter user at Jamak001, JAMAK001. He just wanted us to keep an eye out for this movie called Ill Manners.
Okay.
It's an English film by this dude called Ben Drew.
Okay.
Never heard of the guy. I think he's a British type celebrity. Actually, I think he might be an MC or a rapper or something.
Interesting.
And it's actually got great reviews. It's a crime drama, and it's about a bunch of intersecting lives, like six different characters, and it's supposed to be really well made. The reviews are actually quite strong. It's not available yet here on DVD, I think. I can't find it, Jamak. So shout out, bro. Thanks for looking out for us, Jamak.
Yes.
shout outs in England. He's in the UK.
That's
why he's telling us about this.
Hello, Jamak.
Our mate. Thanks, mate.
Oh, he's going to hate these accents.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, bro. So I just want to let him know. Thanks, bro. We'll keep an eye out for that. And once we do see it, we'll let you know what we think of it. Twitter user at J_Disturco. Disturco? That might be. I'm sorry, Joe. I might be saying that wrong. J_Disturco wanted us to answer this question. Who do we think is the hottest actress of all time? That's a tough one, man. You should see these guys' faces, people at home. They're racking their brains immediately. Their visions of booties and breasts and faces are going through their minds.
That, you got to get that out of the way first.
She's hot, but she can't act.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of those.
Well, I guess we're just talking about hottest actress. Man. Doesn't have to be talented. Wow.
Drew, you go first while I think about this.
This is a tough one.
You know what? I have my favorite.
Who's your favorite?
Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, yeah. Audrey's,
classic.
Classic.
That's a classic,
too. Just love that woman.
Classic. If we're talking about classics, I'm a big fan of Lauren Bacall.
Oh, sure.
She was very good-looking girl. And she was also the type of person. I guess this is just the way it was back then, though, where people that were in their early 21, 22, and they looked like they were 30.
Yeah.
People just looked older.
Isn't that weird how that 70s, 60s back then, how that came about?
And then now you look at people, and now they're looking younger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's strange.
She had an incredible range, that woman.
She did.
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn, man.
Ava Gardner, back in her day, she was considered the most beautiful woman in the world when she was really popular for a few years. Mm-hmm. I only bring that up to mention that in The Aviator, Martin Scorsese is The Aviator, mm-hmm. Ava Gardner dated Howard Hughes, so they needed to have her as a character. So who did they get to play the hottest woman in the world? Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, and she is, man. So she is smoking.
Kate does it for me.
Yeah.
Australian, right? Is she Australian or British?
I think she's British.
I think she's English.
She's British. Okay.
She's a Brit. Yeah. She's a Brit. Australian, you got Kate Bosworth. Yeah, she's okay.
Kate Bosworth.
Kate Blanchett. She's
an amazing actress.
Interesting face. She's a great actress. I love watching her in movies. Yeah.
Because are we going with...
That's talent.
Equal parts beauty, equal parts talent.
When I hear hottest, I'm thinking just hottest.
Pure hottest. Pure unadulterated hotness.
Kate Beckinsale is a good actress, but I think she's smoking hot.
Smoking hot, yes.
You know,
I have to agree.
And also, I'd like to apologize real quick for the ladies listening to the show for objectifying women. But you do it with the Bradley Coopers and the Matthew McConaughey. Yes, so
all the time.
So cut us a slack. Cut us a slack.
Oh my goodness.
Uh oh.
I can't believe I didn't say her name, and I'm blanking out on her name now because I'm so excited.
Can you think of a movie?
Fantastic. No, I'm sorry. Avengers.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett. Oh,
yeah.
Scarlett.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, she's
everybody loves them some ScarJo.
If I ever meet Scarlett, I'm taking my wedding band off.
Slipping in the pocket.
No, but not for nothing. Scarlett Johansson is one of those actresses that I'm like, okay, when I write my feature film version of whatever, I need her in there.
You want her?
No. Yeah, because I don't even wish list. I think she's got like way more potential than what people are seeing.
She has a lot of talent. Yeah. And she was in, the first time I ever saw her was in a Coen Brothers movie, The Man Who Wasn't There, the black and white one with Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, my God, she was in that.
Yeah,
yes,
she was
very
like,
good.
She was only like 16 years old. Yeah. I've never seen this girl. Like, who
is
this girl?
You truly are a cinemaphile.
I try, Carl. I was like, who is this girl? She's really good.
She's awesome.
And then if the Coen Brothers are going to pluck her out,
yeah,
then they must see something in her.
So contemporary times for me, Scarlett, and then just
overall
Audrey.
Yeah. I'm going to, just because I can't think of anything, I'm going to go with Ava Gardner and then her modern counterpart,
mm-hmm.
Kate Beckinsale.
Kate.
Drew hasn't really given an answer yet.
I don't.
You have no idea?
I mean, when it comes to like the classic actresses, I don't watch a lot of old movies.
Well, that's fine. It doesn't have to be a classic.
So don't know anything about that.
It's just, it's your opinion.
I'm a big fan of Mila Kunis.
Ah, yes.
Ah, Miss Mila.
Yeah. It's those dark eyes and that dark hair.
What is it about Mila?
It's that Russian look. She's got that Eastern Bloc look.
Yeah. Yeah,
and she speaks fluent Russian, which for some reason that also turns me on.
Exactly. Oh, yes.
Yes, it does.
I don't know why.
She pulls that off, too.
She seems like if she starts yelling at me in Russian, I'm like...
Yeah, you're just like, okay.
No matter what she's saying. Whatever you want, baby. I'll do whatever you say. All right, so there you go, J_Disturco. I'm pretty sure I'm mispronouncing that. All right, we get a question every week from our good friend, Billy D.
Billy D. Williams?
Almost. I'm sure.
Almost.
I'm sure he loves how you just said that. He's gonna start hashtagging his tweets now, Billy D. Williams.
Yep.
We got a question from Billy every week. This is episode 22, so here's question 22 from Billy. He's one of our best friends. Great guy. Living in Brooklyn He moved to Brooklyn a few years ago to Williamsburg.
Dude, I leave Brooklyn, it blows up, becomes amazing.
Isn't it crazy?
In the last
6-7 years, yes. The whole Williamsburg area is just totally flipped. It's all like artists now and young people, and it's pretty wild. He went up there a few years ago because he got an internship gig at the Colbert Report.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, yeah. So he spent a semester up there doing that, and then he stayed.
You know who lives... I still have a house in Brooklyn. You know who lives up the street from me?
Spike Lee.
Well, kind of. A little further away from the green area. Romney Malco bought a brownstone up the street from me.
I don't know.
40-year-old virgin, bald-headed black guy.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
He's still living there?
He lives in my hood.
That's awesome.
Bought a dope brownstone up there.
That's great. I remember a few years ago, it was a little more than a few years ago. I guess it was closer to 10 years ago. When my mom was, she was going to some school in that area.
Yeah.
And for like working on her master's or PhD or something. And she just went to a local place to get some pizza, you know, because it's Brooklyn. You're in Brooklyn. You get some pizza. She goes over there and she gets her slice and she sits down and she looks up and she sees some guy walks in scowling, looking all pissed off. And he orders his pizza and he sits down and he's eating and she's staring at him. She walks up to the guy behind the counter and goes, "Excuse me, is that Chris Rock sitting over there?" And he's like, "Oh yes, Mr. Rock does not like to be disturbed."
Mr. Rock.
That's what he said immediately. Yes, that's Mr. Rock, and he does not like to be disturbed.
Yes.
And she was like, "Oh, okay." And she went back and sat down, just watching him. And then he ate his food, looking pissed. And
he loves pizza, man.
Does he?
He's a pizza freak. When I worked at SNL, that was his lunch.
That was his thing.
And they used to make him get the pizza.
That's awesome.
And he was cool about it.
Like, where are we going? Yeah. Famous Rays, original Rays.
I'm saying
famous original Rays. Where are we going?
Original famous Rays.
Rays part two.
Yeah, man. Oh, I miss me some New York pizza, dude.
You're making me want to go home right now.
This guy's, is it your first time going?
Yeah, it's going to be.
His first time ever.
Oh, 6 weeks.
He's going to New York City in a month and a half.
Yeah, like 6-7 weeks.
Are you going
weeks.
Into Manhattan itself, into the boroughs?
Going to Brooklyn.
Dude, you're going to love it.
I'm going to see the man with the question, actually.
Yeah, he's going to see the man with the question, Billy D. He's going to hang out with him and some other friends. I'm telling him, when he gets there, he's got to get a bagel with some cream cheese.
Absolutely.
He's got to go to Grace Papaya, get him a hot dog and some papaya juice.
Oh, yes.
You got to get some.
The Grace Papaya in West Village.
Yes, yes. The one that's further, right by NYU.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the one, my brother.
The other one is the one where they filmed outside for Die Hard 3.
Yeah, the one further uptown.
Yeah. Because they had to make him go downtown. That's part of the story.
Makes sense.
Billy D, we did not forget your question. Here we go. Billy D's question, who currently in Costa Rica. He's on assignment in Costa Rica.
Yes, he is.
Billy D asks, if it bleeds, can you kill it?
If it bleeds.
If it bleeds, can you kill it?
Yes.
For $1 million.
the answer is yes.
Drew says yes. Carl, if it bleeds, can you kill it?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes, too.
Absolutely.
Based solely on Predator.
Yeah,
because exactly. I'm pretty sure that's where that line
is. That's like in all those epic kind of mythological movies. Look, he's one of us. He bleeds.
It bleeds.
Therefore, we can
kill
it.
That's a great question.
That is a good question. Thank you, Billy, very much. We appreciate that. All right, this brings us to the end. Carl, we have two more things
here.
Yes,
sir.
We're going to go through the lightning round. Lightning round time. I have 10 questions here. Yep. I'm going to just throw them at you.
You got it, buddy.
As soon as you get the answer, just spit it right back out.
That's what my shrink tells me all the time.
Exactly. This is our therapy. This is so we can help our listeners really get into your brain.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so here we go. And some of these might sound a little familiar. Like question number one.
Yep.
Is film dead?
Film will never die.
I like that. Optimism. Number two. Are you a fan of stand-up comedy?
Stand-up comedy is the backbone to my life.
Oh, wow. Number three, what is the most important moment in your life?
When I get up in the morning.
Ha ha. Very good answer. Number four, which would win in a fight, a gorilla with a machete or an elephant with a flamethrower?
A gorilla with a machete because it'll chop that. I was going to say a bad word.
Gorilla with a machete. All
get
right.
him at the legs.
Number five, science fiction or science fact?
Science fiction.
All right. Number six. How do you like your steak?
Medium.
Number seven. True or false? Catcher in the Rye is the most banned book in America.
Oh, I would say true.
Okay, he says true. We'll come back to that. Number eight. Yeah. What is your earliest movie-related memory?
I thought Mary Poppins was real.
Really?
Nice.
What was this?
I thought Disney film, Mary Poppins.
What, like when you were like 3, 4 years old?
I don't even remember.
You remember?
One of the first films I ever saw in my life.
Yeah.
I was like, why can't our nanny look like her?
How come we don't have Dick Van Dyke giving right? us a bad British accent? That's hysterical. All right, number 9. Have you ever gone whitewater rafting?
Yes, I have.
Yeah?
Right. Yeah.
It's fun, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've done that too.
I was in the Navy for 7 years.
Oh, that's right, Navy. So you've done plenty of shit then, actually. Never mind. And number 10, remakes, good or bad?
Ooh. Wow. You know what? That's one of those things that I struggle with.
Yeah.
Man, because when they're done well, they're done awesome.
It's just another movie.
You know what? Let me tell you. A remake... Because I saw the original of some films. You know how you do that.
Yeah.
Go back and forth, back and forth.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I know
yeah.
this is a lightning round. I don't want to make this too long. But I would say leave the original alone a lot of times.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though there are exceptions to that rule.
Absolutely.
But I say but what if it's amazing, leave it alone.
Okay, right. But what if the original's terrible?
Then don't bother with it.
It come up with something all new. Time.
I mean, why would you remake Taxi Driver?
Right. And you know someone's going to want to do it one day.
Somebody's going to want to do it.
And yet for some reason they keep making Fantastic Four movies.
Endless sequels.
And none of them have ever been good.
Yeah, they're
by the way,
again.
That's my boy Tim Story.
Tim Story. Yeah, that's your that is your friend.
That's my homie.
Barbershop was good.
Barbershop was good.
Barbershop was good.
And then he went for the cash.
Hey, you know what? Good for him.
Can't blame Tim.
I say good for him.
You know what? The one thing about Tim, every time we did a music video together, he would always have elements of superheroes in it. Like,
what are you really?
Yeah, like the.
So he was always into
that. If you guys, your listeners want to check one out, it's The Lox, Wild Out.
Okay.
We did that one together, and The Lox have like superpowers in it.
So. Really
nice.
Yeah. So he has that sensibility. Yes.
So he's already going.
He's
for
already.
That.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He already had the number.
I'm just saying. Why is he casting Jessica Alba as Sue Storm? Anyway. giving her blue contacts.
So many.
I mean, come on, bro.
So many better choices.
But hey,
could have made.
Like you said, he got that money.
You know what I'm gonna do?
He got that money.
I'm gonna when I get home tonight. I'm gonna send him an email. And I'm gonna tell him to listen to the show. And I'm gonna tell him what you just said.
Go for it.
That'd be awesome.
Mr. Story, we appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. So that was the lightning round. Carl, thank you very much.
Oh, man.
If you look behind you right there, you see those two green bags? Yes, those are Cinema Crespo Disso swag bags.
Whoa!
If you could please choose one, and pass it on to me.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And I'll let the people know swag you're getting. Because I like, you know, when people when we have guests on, we want to treat them right.
Dude, so. That's dope, man.
So let's see what we got here. You're going to get on DVD Garfield the movie.
Yes!
With Bill Murray as the voice of Garfield.
My favorite cat in the world, except the cat that I own.
This is a trendy, bendy wristband. It's wear it, declare it. You got a little plastic wristband that says hip hop.
Oh, dope. I like it.
We got a book here, number one New York Times bestseller, yeah. Spy Killer by L. Ron Hubbard.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, man.
And actually, look at that cover. It's a story that takes place in Shanghai. The cover is a recreation of the magazine that story originally appeared in.
Nice.
Look how racist that Chinese dude is on that cover. Because that is straight up from the 30s and 40s.
Oh, wow.
Fu Manchu style.
Yeah. Dude, he's got the long fingernails. He's wearing a dragon on his chest.
That is old school racism right there.
He kind of looks like the emperor in Empire Strikes Back.
Right. So I don't know why they decided, hey, this will be good to put on 2013.
And it was a white guy in Chinese makeup.
Yeah. Like, can you go like this for
that's
a minute?
How they did it back then.
And also, finally, we have here some Flarp noise putty. Do
Flarp.
Not eat.
Oh, yes.
But you pop the top, you squish it, and it's going to make a whole bunch of crazy noises.
I'm bringing that to school.
So there you go. That's your Cinema Crisp.
Wow, you guys are
swag
awesome.
Bag.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks for hanging out, man.
We
appreciate it. So that's it. That's our show. That's episode 22. Let's get the plugs out of the way real quick. Carl, you're on Twitter?
Yes, I am on Twitter at Video Verna.
Video Verna. That's
anybody,
Verna, people.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Anybody who wants a music video commercial done?
Yeah.
I have amazing technology at my fingertips.
Yes.
And in September, look for N-Word.
Yes. Yeah. What was the website again to look for?
www.niggastore.com.
Thank you for saying it.
It's the A, not the E.
Yes.
Drew, Twitter.
At Antihero419.
And actually Antihero419 for anything.
Pretty much anything. Instagram, Facebook,
Xbox Live.
Anything, you name it.
Anything. The show is at Crespo Disso. My Twitter is I am Chris Crespo. go to chriscrespo.com. You can listen to the show on chriscrespo.com, iTunes,
Stitcher,
aircheck.us. We're all over the place, man. So
many places to get this fine podcast.
However you get the show, we thank you for enjoying it. If wherever you get the show, it has an option for ratings and reviews.
Please rate and review.
Please rate and review. We really appreciate that. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family. We'll be back next week for episode 23.
Yes, we will.
On behalf of Drewster Cogburn.
Thank you.
Cool Carl Verna, the video burner. I am Chris Crespo, and we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot, guys.
I should pay for the kid, but they, you know, they said I should. So.
They were right, too. That's only 10 apiece.
Correct.
The price is 15.
Dylan charges 10. Recession prices, who they told me to tell you that, too.
They made a deal with Mickey for 15.
Yeah, yeah, but the way they got it, Mickey got in a fight with a whore, the dumb shit, and now they got him in a can, and you're filling in for Dylan, and you get what Dylan gets. No more. You talk to Dylan. Take it up with him.
Dylan's dead. Dylan died this morning.
They're gonna be very sorry to hear that.
Sure, sure they are. It's gonna cost them more.
You know, this business is a business of relationships.
Yeah, and everyone loved Margie.
You are a cynical bastard, you know that?
To reclaim the American dream and reaffirm that fundamental truth, that out of many, we are one.
You hear that line? Line's for you.
Don't make me laugh. We're one people. It's a myth created by Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, now you're gonna have a go at Jefferson, huh?
My friend, Jefferson's an American saint. Because he wrote the words, all men are created equal. Words he clearly didn't believe since he allowed his own children to live in slavery. He was a rich wine snob who was sick of paying taxes to the Brits. So yeah, he wrote some lovely words and aroused the rabble, and they went out and died for those words. While he sat back and drank his wine and fucked his slave girl. This guy wants to tell me we're living in a community. Don't make me laugh. I'm living in America, and in America you're on your own. America's not a country. It's just a business. Now fucking pay me.